ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിഭ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഓർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദ അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിശി ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശിശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ബഹുതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തപുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി ഹൃദേ കിം വാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവസം യുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം അനഥോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരവേഗം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തികാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി पाश्चात्या देशदारिणी श्रीमल गुरु चरण अरविंदाभ्याम नमः। वंदे नंद व्रज स्त्रीणाम पादरेणुम भीष्णश यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादि भवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविंद प्रमाणवे नमः। पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशंखं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदर मंदहासं वदालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरलो मम। मूकं करोति वाजालं पंगं लंघयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं। श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमराधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविंद गोविंद। ओम पाथाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। नमोस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धि फुल्लारविन्दाय वक्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैल पूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप। प्रपन्न पारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रै गपाणये ज्ञान मुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर भोक्ता दुग्धम हितामृतम महत्। वसुदेव सुतम देवम कंसचाणूरमर्दनम देवगी परमानंदम कृष्णम वंदे जगद्गुरुम। भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथ जला गांधार नीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला। अश्वत्थामा विगर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवा। पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलम गीतार्थगन्धोल्कटम नानाख्यानक केसरम हरिकथा संबोधनाबोधितम्। लोकैः सज्जन शल्पदैर्हप्येबीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे। मूकं करोति वाजालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुद स्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदै सांगमदे क्रमोपनिषदैर् गायन्ति यं सामगाः। ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरा सुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः।
Arjuna has returned from Dwaraka and has spoken to Yudhishthira Maharaj about his Krishna's departure from this world, and continuously cried in front of Yudhishthira, saying there that how many instances Krishna has saved the Pandavas from different difficulties. So, saying it is at that time Krishna thought about Bhagavad Gita. The thoughts of Bhagavad Gita came up in his mind. Ashochya nanya shojastam prajnavadamsha bhashase kadasuna kadasumscha nani shojandi panditam. And when that thoughts came in, here Sudha Goswami says there that his Vimalamati, that evam chindayado jishno krishna pada saroruham sauhardena adigadhena shanda asil Vimalamati. Arjuna became pacified and peaceful, and his mind was very clear. Shandi, pure clarity has come to him after thinking about that. So when Arjuna reported this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was waiting to hear this news, because already there were some strong indications that Krishna was leaving the planet. And so it was then that you will see there were 38 in that same verse, that surad pautram vinayinam almana susamam gumei te toyani vyapadim bhumel abhishinjal geja hoye. Surad pautram vinayinam, verse 38 in the 15th chapter. Surad pautram vinayinam almana susamam gumei Toyanivya Padim Bhumil Abhishinjal Gajahvayam. Yudhishthira Maharaj got up and held Parikshit's hand, took him to the throne and told him to sit on the throne. And after that, he performed whatever the ceremony to install him as the emperor, and he said to Parikshit that this empire means the whole planet. It mentions there very clearly that Jambudvipam was under his control. The whole planet has come to your control only because of Krishna. So it is not only administration of this planet is not just a king's duty, but it is actually a service to Krishna, because Krishna has handed this over to them to administer. So because Krishna has handed it over, this service is more different than any other administration of a king. It's not an ordinary king's administration. He said to Parikshit that Krishna has handed over this planet to us to administer. So for it is a service to Krishna. It is in that way, and with that mood, he told him to administer the planet. Then after that, what is the most interesting thing, that he did not look this side or that side, started walking towards the north. And even anybody else coming with him, even that he did not bother to look at, if anybody was accompanying him. When Yudhishthira Maharaj started walking, Bhimasena followed him. And you will see there that mentioned that how he left. That is interesting. That he mentions there, that 40th verse, Visrajya Tatratal Sarvam Duguvulavalaya Adigam Nurmamo Nirahankaram Samchinna Sheshabandhanam. Visrajya Tatratal Sarvam Duguvulavalaya Adigam. Duguvulavalaya Adigam means all the special garments they have to wear as a king, emperor. All those things he took it off from him, body, and threw it away and gave it on to him, especially his crown. And special clothes, what he had to wear, the bangles and all other kinds of decorations, all of them he threw it away. And took one garment, which was a bark tree bark-like thing, and covered himself with that. And if you look at him at that time, he appeared like a mad person. That he appeared very much like, you will see in the Bhagavatam, other personalities, like our Jatabharata and Rishabhadev and Dattatreya and many others who walked away from the palace. In the same way, Yudhishthira Maharaj also looked similar to that. Already that shows that much detachment has come from this world to indicate to us. That is why that dress is spoken there. So if you look at that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj, it will appear as though he is crazy. He has gone mad. So, but all other brothers also, without even any discussions, Bhima followed him, and behind him Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, all of them, and finally Draupadi also went along with them. They never looked back. They never looked back. They have come for a purpose. Business is finished. They are gone. They didn't think about this world anymore after that. So this is, these things happen in life. This is not a very old story. In many cases, this has happened in this way. Many instances, there were one Shastri. He had decided to leave home and he was on the verge of whether to leave or not in that situation. One day, another devotee was very closer to him. He has decided to take sannyasam from him. When he took sannyasam, and after that, he walked back towards the north. He moved away towards the north. And all the family members, everyone was waiting and watching. Nobody has seen him after that. He has gone. So in an ordinary person like that, the Shastri, if this can happen to him, what to talk about Pandavas situations? That nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means sangam has gone. Attachment has gone for home, family, and all other identities. Connection is broken with the world, in other words. So he never looked back, and they went to the Himalayas, and one after the other, they all gave up their body, and five Pandavas also gone back to the to their respective places. So, why is this story spoken in the Bhagavatam, Pandava Mahaprasthanam? Is to show to us that Vairagyam is necessary at some point in time in life, and that desire in us all the time, which does not go away easily, that I want this, not enough. This is strong in every mind, isn't it? People doesn't have the thinking that if I could make a little bit more money, or if I could have some more of this facilities in life, happiness in life, these things. So this thing won't go away easily. Also, some point Krishna gives you an opportunity to once for all to completely cut it off from this world. Like people have this desire, wealth is not sufficient. If I could make another 100,000, another million or 2 million, or another that feeling of incompleteness inside, never satisfied inside, thinking that, oh, I don't have enough happiness in life, little bit more happiness if I could get from this life, or thinking that, oh, this house is not big enough to live, maybe I could move on to better facilities in this way. Not enough. This thought inside. What is the reason why it is happening? That because always I am thinking that this is all for me to enjoy here. It is for my happiness and for me to experience it. And this thought is coming back strongly. And here, look at Pandavas. They had nothing at one stage. They had nothing at one stage. Then everything came to them under their control. And now everything is gone. At one point, Duryodhana and the Kauravas and Dhritarashtra and others, they sent him them all to the forest. They were totally rid of everything. They had nothing. They were sleeping in the forest and collecting fruits from the forest. And Kundidevi and the children struggled very hard in the forest to survive. And then by Krishna's arrangement, everything changed in their life. Dharmaputra Maharaja became the emperor. Yudhishthira became the emperor. And now he has handed over everything to Parikshit. And now they are gone. Everything they left behind. So, therefore, from this we have to understand, nobody has anything here. Nobody has anything here. But if you have anything here, the only thing what we carry with us is if we have developed some Krishna consciousness here. Everything else is come and it will be gone. So everything else you have to leave behind also. Either we have to leave them or they will leave us. So only if that understanding is strong inside, you will be able to engage in chanting the holy name. You'll be able to chant the holy name properly. So only for the sake of that vairagyam that these things are mentioned in the first canto itself. These stories are mentioned in the Bhagavatam only for that purpose, to create that understanding inside. That after saying that, they mentioned about the Mahaprasadam, Pandava's great journey back to spiritual abode. They are leaving, they have come, they have done their part and they have gone. No more connection with the world. They didn't stick around anymore. As soon as they realized that Krishna has left the planet, Yudhishthira Maharaj said there was no point in staying here anymore. That is the higher understanding, isn't it? So they didn't want to continue being here, handed over everything to Parikshit and told him that Yudhishthira was over 90 years old. And he has instructed Parikshit to manage the planet in such a way so that Krishna's instructions are followed strictly. That is what we find there. It is after that that Pandavas Mahaprasthanam, in other words, they are returning back to their abode, is over. And then in the next chapter, Tadascha Shri Rajarya Swami says there, Tadascha Shodashe Bhumi Dharmayo Kali Khinayoho Samvade Varnade Prati Palagasya Parikshidaha. So, Bhumi Devi, another scene now. The whole purpose of this first canto is to show us who is qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it's called Adhikariskandam. Adhikariskandam. Who is qualified means a person like Parikshit. He is the one who is qualified to hear Bhagavatam. Like the way Pandavas left, the same tradition Parikshit followed, is it not? When the appropriate time came and the curse happened, he also said, I'm going. No attachment anywhere. That nilsangatvam, freedom from attachment to this world, you will see all through that family. Throughout the Pandavas dynasty, you will see this. Kunti Devi, you will see that, you will see the Pandavas, you will see in the Parikshit as well. So, in the 16th chapter, another situation, what's happening there? Bhumi Devi and Dharmam are both suffering by the influence of Kali, and Parikshit Maharaj arrived there, and what happened then? That's all discussed in the 16th chapter. And in the next chapter, after that, Parikshit, in the 17th chapter, that Parikshit actually punished Kali and Parikshit decided to leave the planet, although leave this empire. All these things are in the 17th chapter. So these two chapters we will read through and then we will talk about it. Shri Suta Vacham Tadaparikshil Dijavarya Shikshaya Mahi Mahabhagavada Shashasaha Yada Hisutyam Abhijada Kovida Samadishan Vipramahal Gunastatha. So Uttarasya Danayam Upaye Mairavadim Janame Jayadimsha Chadurastasya Upadaya Sutan Ajahara Shumedham Sringangayam Buri Dakshinan Sharadvadam Gunam Ratva Deva Yatrakshi Gojaraha Nijagraha Ujasa Vira Kalim Digvijaye Kojil Rubalingadaram Shudram Dangam Gomithunam Pada Shaunagavacham Kasya Hedor Nijagraha Kalim Digvijaye Nrupa Nudeva Chinnadrak Shudragoso Gamya Padahanal Tanil Katyada Mahabhaga Yadi Krishna Katha Shrayam Athavasya Padam Bhojam Makarandaliham Sadam Kimanyera Sadalabai Ayusho Yada Sadvaya Shudrayusham Drunam Angam Martyanam Adamichadam Iho Bahudo Bhagavan Mutusha Mitragarmani Nakaschil Mriyadetavad Avadastamihantagam Eda Dartam Hi Bhagavan Ahuda Paramarshibi Aho Nrulage Piyeda Hari Lila Mrutam Macham Mandasya Manda Prajnasya Vayo Manda Yushascha Vai Nidraya Hriyade Naktam Divacha Vyartakarmabhi Shri Suta Vajam
യഥാ പരീക്ഷിൽ കുടജാംഗലേ വസൽ കലിം പ്രവിഷ്ടം നിജ ചക്രവർത്തി നിശമ്യ വാർത്താമനതി പ്രിയാം ദദശരാസനം സംയുഗ ശൗണ്ടിരാദേ സ്വലംകൃതം ശ്യാമതുരംഗയോചിതം രഥം മൃഗേന്ദ്രധ്വജമാശ്രിത പുരാൽ പൃഥോരദാശ്വദ്വ ഭക്തിയുക്തയാ സുസേനയാ ദിഗ്വിജയായ നിർഗദാ ഭദ്രാശം കേതുമാലം ച ഭാരതം ചോത്തരാൻ കുരുൻ കിം പുരുഷാദീനി വർഷാണി വിജിത്യ ഗൃജഗൃഹേ ബലിം തത്ര തത്രോപശൃവാനം സ്വപൂർവേഷാം മഹാത്മനാം പ്രഗീയമാണാം ജയശ കൃഷ്ണ മഹാത്മ്യസൂചകം ആത്മാനം ച പരിത്രാദം അശ്വത്ഥാം നോസ്ത്ര തേജസ സ്നേഹം ച വൃഷ്ണിപാർത്ഥാനാം തേഷാം ഭക്തിം ച കേശവേ തേഭ്യ പരമസന്തുഷ്ട പ്രീത്യം ശൃംബിതലോചന മഹാധനാനിവാസാംസി ദദൗഹാരാൻ മഹാമന സാരഥ്യ പാർഷദ സേവന സഖ്യ ദൗത്യം വീരാസനാനുഗമന സ്തവന പ്രണാമാൻ സ്നിഗ്ധേഷു പാണ്ഡ്യുഷു ജഗൽ പ്രണതിം ച വിഷ്ണോർ ഭക്തിം കരോതി നൃപദീ ശരണാരവിന്ദേ തസ്യൈവം വർത്തമാനസ്യ പൂർവേഷാം മൃത്യുമന്വഹം ആദിദൂരേ കിലാശ്ചര്യം യദാസീത് തന്നിബോധമേ ധർമ്മപദേയേന ചരൻ ഭിക്ഷായാമുപലഭ്യകാം പൃച്ഛതി സ്മാശ്രുവദനാം വിവത്സാമിവ മാതരം ശ്രീധർമ്മ ഉവാച കച്ചിൽ ഭദ്രേനാമയമാൽപ്പനസ്തേ ഇച്ഛായാസീം ലയദേശൻ മുഖേന ആലക്ഷയേ ഭവതീ മന്ദരാദിം ദൂരേ ബന്ധം ശോചസീ കഞ്ചനാംബാം പാദേർന്യൂനം ശോചസീം ഐകപാദം ആൽപാനം വാ വൃഷളൈർഭോക്ഷ്യമാണം അധോ സുരാദിൻ ഹൃദയജ്ഞഭാഗാൻ പ്രജാ ഉദൻസിൻ അഥവത്യമർഷതി അരക്ഷ്യമാണാശ്രയമുർവി ബാലൻ ശോചസ്യോ പുരുഷാധൈര്യവാർത്താൻ വാചം ദേവീം ബ്രഹ്മകുലേ കുകർമ്മം കർമ്മണ്യ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യേ രാജകുലേ കുലാഗ്രാൻ കിം ക്ഷത്രബന്ധുൻ കലിനോപസൃഷ്ടാൻ രാഷ്ട്രാണി വാ ദൈരവരോ വിദാനി ഇതസ്തോ വാശനവാനവാസസ്ഥാനവ്യവായോന്മുഖ ജീവലോകം യദ്വാംബദേ ഭൂരിപരാവതാരം കൃതാവതാരസ്യ ഹരേർധരിത്രി അന്തർഹിതസ്യ സ്മരതി വിസൃഷ്ട കർമാണി നിർവാണവിളംബിതാനി ഇതം മമാചക്ഷുതവാദിമൂലം വസുന്ധരേ യേന വികർഷിതാസി കാലേന വാദേ ബലിനാം ബലീയസാം സുരാർച്ചിതം കിം ഹൃതമംബ സൗഭഗം ശ്രീധരണി വാചാം ഭവാൻ ഹി വേദതൽ സർവം യന്മാൻ ധർമാനുപൃച്ഛസി ചതുർഭിർവർത്തസേ യേന പാദേർലോകസുഖാവഹൈ സത്യം ശൗചം ദയാക്ഷാന്തി ത്യാഗസന്തോഷമാർജവം ശമോദമസ്തവസാമ്യം തിദിക്ഷ ഉപരിദേശ്വതം ജ്ഞാനം വിരക്തിരൈശ്വര്യം ശൗര്യം തേജോബലം സ്മൃതി സ്വാതന്ത്ര്യം കൗശലം കാന്തിർധൈര്യം മാർദ്ധവമേവ ച പ്രാഗൽഭ്യം പ്രശ്രയശീലം സഹവോജോബലം ഭഗ ഗാംഭീര്യം സ്ഥൈര്യമാസ്തിക്യം കീർത്തിർമാനോ അനഹം കൃതി ഏതേ ജാനീ ച ഭഗവൻ നിത്യായത്ര മഹാഗുണ പ്രാർത്ഥ്യ മഹത്വമിച്ഛദ്ഭിർന്നവിയന്തി സ്മ കഹിചിൽ തേനാഹം ഗുണപാത്രേണ ശ്രീനിവാസേന സാമ്പ്രതം ശോചാമി രഹിതം ലോകം പാത്മനാ കലിനേക്ഷിതം ആത്മാനം ചാനി ശോചാമി ഭവന്തം ചാമരോത്തമം ദേവാൻ ഋഷീൻ പിതൃൻ സാധൂൻ സർവാൻ വർണ്ണാം സ്ഥദാശ്രമാൻ ബ്രഹ്മാദയോ ബഹുദിതം യദബാംഗമോക്ഷം കാമസ്തവ സമചരൻ ഭഗവൽ പ്രപന്നാഹ സാ ശ്രീ സുവാസ അരവിന്ദവനം വിഹായ യൽപാദ സൗഭഗമലം ഭജതേനുരക്താം തസ്യാഹമംശകലീഷാങ്കുശകേതുകേതേ ശ്രീമൽപദേർഭഗവത സമലം കൃതാംഗി സ്ത്രീരത്യരോജ ഉപലഭ്യതോ വിഭൂതിം ലോകാൻ സമാം വിസതു സ്മയതീം തദന്തേ യോ വൈ മമാദി ഭരമാസുരവംശരാജ്ഞ അക്ഷോഹിണീ ശത അപാനുതാത്മതന്ത്രം ത്വാം ദുസ്തമൂന പദമാത്മനി പൗരുഷേണ സംവാദയൻ യദുഷു രമ്യമഭിബ്രതംഗം കാവാസഹേതവിരഹം പുരുഷോത്തമസ്യ പ്രേമാവലോകരുചിരസ്മിതവൽഗുജൽപൈ സ്ഥൈര്യം സമാനമഹരൻ മധുപാനിനീനാം രോമോത്സവോ മമയഥം കൃവിടങ്കിതായ തയോരേവം കഥയതു പൃഥ്വീധർമ്മയോസ്തദാ പരീക്ഷിർനാമരാജർഷിർപ്രാപ്താ പ്രാചീം സരസ്വതീം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ പ്രഥമസ്കന്ദേ പൃഥ്വീധർമ്മ സംവാദോ നാമ ഷോഡശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ തദസപ്തദശേ രാജ്ഞ കലേ നിഗ്രഹമുച്യതേ തസ്യൈവം വീര്യഭാജോപി വൈരാഗ്യം വക്തുമത്ഭുതം. That is the next chapter. Sridharacharya Swamiji says there that Kali was punished by the Parikshit and there was no problems in the empire, in the kingdom, and it is that kingdom that Parikshit has given up. That's what he's saying there. Tada saptadashe rajnya kale nigraham uchyade tasyevam virya bhajo bhi vairagyam vaktumalbudam.
The purpose of saying that in this chapter is to show that the state of vairagyam or renunciation in Parikshit. How important renunciation is in spiritual life. Because neither jnanam nor bhakti will stay unless there is renunciation. That is why to indicate in the first chapter itself, Pandava's vairagyam, Parikshit's vairagyam, everything is spoken first before getting into Bhagavatam itself. So you can see there, saptadashodhyaya sotavacham, tatra govanmitunam raja hanyamanamana dhaval dandahastam javrshalam dadrishe nirbalanchanam brusham ranala dhavalam ehandam eva vibhyadam evamanam padeigena sidandam shudradadidam gaja dharma dukham veenam brusham shudravadahadam pivalsam sashruvadanam kshamam yavasamichadim papracharadhamarunam kartasarabarichadam mega gambhiraya vacha samaro vidakarmugam Kasvama charane loga, balandham se balanbali, naradevo siveshena, naraval karmanadvijam. Kasvam krishna ega deduram, sahagandiva dhanvana, shochyo asya shochya and rahasi, praharan vathamarkasi. Tum vamranala davalam, padir nivina padajan, brusharubena kim kaschil, devona parikhedayan. Tajadu bhairavendranam, dhurdhanda pariram pide, budalenu batyandasmin vinade praninam shujam. Ma Saurabhayani Shujo Vedude Krushalal Bhayam Ma Rodi Rambavadramde Kalanam Shastari Esarashre Prajasar Vastrasyande Sadhva Sadhubi Tasya Matasya Nashyandi Kirtir Ayur Bhagogadi Yasharatyam Varodharmam Arthanam Arthani Graha Ada Enam Madhishyami Buddhama Sattamam Kovrushchatam Padam Sin Saurabhay Chadushpada Ma Bhuvam Stvadrasharashre Rajyam Krishna Nivartinam Akhyahi Vrshabhadrama Sadhuna Magdangasam Alma Vairupya Kartanam Parthanam Kirti Dushanam Jani Anagasya Kamyunjan Sarodo Sejavalbhayam Sadhuna Badramevasyal Asadu Madhamene Krade Anagasya Budeshu Ye Agast Nirangusha Ahartasmi Bujam Sashal Amartasya Visangadam Rajyo Hivaramo Dharma Sudharma Stanubalanam Shastado Anyanyatha Shastram Anahadilpathaniham Dharma Vaja, Edadva Pandavayanam Yukta Marthavayam Vaja, Yesham Gunagane Krishno, Dautyado Bhagavan Kradam, Navayam Klesha Mijani, Edasi Purushar Shava, Purushandam Mijani, Mo Vakya Veda Vimohidaham, Kejit Vigalpavasana, Ahura Alpanama Alpana, Devamanye, Parekarmam Subhavam, Abare Prabhum, Apadarkya Nirdesha, Keshavinishaya, Tranubam Rajarshi, Vimarsha Sumanishaya, Shri Suta Vajam, Evam Dharme Pravadadi, Sasamran Tujasattama Samahidena Manasa Vikheda Vajashtadam Shri Rajo Vajam, Dharmam Pravishi Dharmanya Dharmo Simsharu Padrakyata Dharma Gadastanam Sujagasya Vidal Pavel, Athava Deva Maya Nunam Gadirago Jara Chetaso Vajasaschavi Bhutanam Idinishaya, Tada shojam daya satyam idi prada pragirtida adharmam shastrayo bhagna smaya sangamadaisava idanim dharma vadaste satyam nurvartayedyada tam jagrachatya dharmoyam adrulayede nene idi dakkali yam jamur bhagavada nasidoru bhara sadi shrimadbhil shrimadbhistal padanyasai sarvada kritakauduga shojatya shrugula sadvi durbhage vanchida adhuna abrahmanya narva vyaja shudra bhokshandida mamiti Iti dharmam mahim jaiva sadayitva maharada nishadamada de ghalgham talaye atharma hedame tam jikrasma vipretya vihaya nrubalanchanam talpada moolam shirasa samagalmaya vikvalam padidam vadayor vitsha krabayadina valsala sharanyo navadi shlokya ahajedam hasanniva shri rajovajam Nade Gudage Sheshotharana, Padanjeru Evamas Tigil, Navartinavim Boda, Kadanjana Chetre, Madiye Tom Atharma Bandhu, Tuam Vartamanam Naradeva Dehe, Anupravutoya Matharma Buga, Lobo Anadam Joya Manayamam Ho, Jeshta Jamaya, Kalahaschadamba, Navartinavim the Dharma Bandhu, Dharmena Satina Javartinavi, Brahma Varte, Trajandi, Yaki Shuram, Yaki Vidana Vityam. Yasmin Hajar Bhagavan Jyamanam Ijyamurthindya Jyadam Shandanodi Kamana Mokhan Sira Jangamana Mandar Bahir Vayurivehi Shamalpa Shri Suta Vajam Parikshideva Madhishta Sagalir Jadave Padu Tamudyadasi Mahedam Dandabani Vivodyadam Kaliru Vajam
Yatra kvajana valsyami sarva bhavata vajaya lakshaye tatra tatra vitva teshu charasanam tanme dharma pradam shrestha sthanam nirdeshtam arhasi yatra yunedo valsya adishtam ste anishasanam shri suta vacham abhyarti dasta dadasmai snanani kalaye dado dyudam panam striya sonam yatra atharmas chaturvidaham punashchaya jamanaya jadirumadal prabhu Tado anradam madam kamam rajo vairanja panchamam amuni panjastanani atharma prabhavakali autareena dattani nevasattana deshakal adhaidani dana seveda bhubushupurusha kojil visheshato dharma shilo raja lokavadir guru vrushasyanashtam sreen padan tapashaujam dayamidi Pratisamdhatam ashwasamahimja samavardhayal sa esha yadarhyadhyasta asanam vartivo jidam pidamahin omanyastam rajnya ranyam vivichada aste dhunas rajarshi kauravendrashi ollasan gajahvaye mahabhaga chakravarti brahashrava itham bhudane bhavoyam ahivanyasuto onrava yasya balayadakshonim yuyam satraya dikshida iti shrimal bhagavade mahabrani Pradhamaskande Kalinigraho Nama Saptadashodhyaya Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda Now, in this 16th and 17th chapter, Shuka Brahma Parikshit Maharaja of his administration, that is what is spoken here. And how Sukabrahmarshi came in front of Parikshit, that part first. So similarly, Suda Goswami is giving that knowledge of how come Sukabrahmarshi arrived in front of Parikshit. That part of it is Suda Goswami talking to Shaunagrashi. And you can see here that how we understand that on what situation everything happened in this way. Vedavyasa Maharshi is giving us an understanding that the background of this meeting between Sukabrahma Maharshi and Parikshit, in what situation they met each other. So all the previous parts what we have discussed so far is a preparation for this, to bring Parikshit and Sukabrahma Maharshi together. So, here, for Parikshit to take control of the administration of the planet. And why did that happen? Because Pandavas left. That's what reason. Parikshit was young, it wasn't that old. But because Pandavas have left the planet, that became the cause for Parikshit to take over the administration. And you can see in that 16th chapter itself, that first verse, he says there, that Parikshit, when Parikshit, Pandavas have gone, Tada Parikshin, Dujavarya Shikshaya Mahi Mahabhagavada Shashasaha, Yadahi Sutyama Bijada Kovida Samadishan, Vipramahal Gunastrathaham. That what kind of person is Parikshit is there itself. Suda Goswami is saying there, Mahabhagavatam. Is Mahabhagavatam, the first pure devotee of Krishna. Mahabhagavatam. That Mahabhagavatam, that Mahabhagavata Parikshit, he has taken over the kingdom on not just as a pure administrator, but as a sadhana in Krishna's service. Because this planet was given to him as a prasadam. Krishna has given this as a prasadam to him for administration. So, how is that the best possible way to serve the people and to maintain the law and order, utilizing his position? That is what Parikshit has decided. So, that great devotee, Mahabhagavadottam, that is why he is the first time Suda Goswami is saying about Parikshit, Mahi Mahabhagavadashashasaha, Mahabhagavadam, he is. And his administration
is what Sudha Goswami is talking to Shavanagar Rishi. Now, how, what was his style of administration? How did he manage the planet? So, you can see what a high position Parikshit had in his life, and that was spoken first. And you know, to make us understand, this is what he's going to give up. A whole planet he's giving up and walking away from there. To make us understand in what situation he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. What was the state of mind of Parikshit? When somebody who had the whole control of the planet, emperor of the whole planet, and at this that time that he decided to give up, to show to us that to what extent he was detached from this world, or vairagyam inside, how strong the vairagyam must be inside to do that. In that race, you can see Bharata Maharaj did that, is it not? Bharata walked away when the time has come. So to make us understand that, that is why all these things were spoken. So, because Parikshit's position was such, even the demigods loved to have that position, what Parikshit had at that time. So, and that has come to Parikshit's hand without too much of a struggle by Krishna's grace. And in that process, in order to make sure that things for administration was going on very well, and Parikshit was traveling all around the world, all around the planet, and in a different clothes, so nobody could recognize him as the king. And while he was traveling many places, all what he heard was glorification of Krishna and glorification of his ancestors, Pandavas. Wherever he went, the Bhagavatam, it says like that. If you look at the 17th verse, you will see that. Sarathya Parshada Sevana Sakya Dautyam Virasana Anugamana Stavana Pranaman Snigdeshu Pandushu Jagal Pranadimja Vishnor Bhaktim Karodi Nirbadish Charanaravinde. Wherever they travelled, you can see where Parikshit has travelled. Look at that list there. Badrashyam, Ketumalam, Bharatam, Chottaran Kurun, Kimburushani, Varshani, Vijitya Jagrahe Balim. These are all the different areas of this planet. Badrashyam, Ketumalam, Bharatam, Uttaraguru, Kimpurusham. Different varshas. If in the fifth canto, it is explained, the different varshas of this planet. Bharatavarsham, it was not only Bharatavarsham, all the other areas as well. Badrashyam, Ketumalam, Bharatam, Uttaraguru, Kimpurusham. All these varshanini, he says, varshani. Murushadini Varshani means all other Varshams as well. Vijitya Jagrahe Bhali. He was travelling and all he could hear everywhere was about people talking about Krishna and people talking about the Pandavas. And that relationship with Krishna and the Pandavas. So, and they also spoke about that, how Krishna has shown that special grace to Pandavas. And everywhere people were talking about it. Everywhere. People were talking about it. And you will see there, 14, 15. Tatra tatra avashrinvanam, 14 and 15. Tatra tatra avashrinvanam, sapurvesha mahalpanam, pragiyamanam jeshas, Krishna mahalpya suchakam. Krishna's glorifications, everywhere, wherever he traveled, this is what he heard people talking about, Krishna mahalpya suchakam, of the glories of Krishna. And Alpmanam ja paritradam ashwathamna astradejasa sneham ja vrishni parthanam tesham bhaktim jageshave. Not only that, they also said that how the devotees, Pandavas, have enjoyed Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy, and together the devotees as well as the Krishna and the devotees, their stories, that was what was spoken everywhere. So he was very much enjoying that, hearing about how the Pandavas and Krishna has conducted themselves here, how they interacted each other. So wherever he went, people were talking about Krishna and the Pandavas, and he encouraged them to talk about Krishna. So it is at that time while going, he found that everywhere in the planet, everyone was talking about Krishna and Krishna's devotees, Pandavas. And how Krishna has looked after the Pandavas, how Krishna installed them as in charge of the planet, and how Krishna has shown his considerable love for the Pandavas in various dealings. These things were spoken again and again by the people all around. It is at that time some rishis came to Parikshit and told them what. That's what he'll say there in the 11th verse. He says, Yada Parikshit Kuru Jangale Vasal Kalim Pravishtam Nija Chakravartide Nishamyamartamanadi Priyam Tada Sharasanam Samyuga Shaundiradade. That Parikshit, they said to him, the rishis, they came up to Parikshit and told him that all people are generally very, very happy in this world. And you may be thinking that everybody is absorbed in talking about Krishna here. But there is something else happening in this world. Parikshit did not know what it was. So the rishis told them, told Parikshit, that if you are thinking that everybody is absorbed in Krishna, everybody is discussing about Krishna, if it is like that, you are mistaken, they said to him, that there is someone who is ready to destroy that peace in this planet, and he is prepared for that, and he is working very hard to drive away people from the from that happiness what they were enjoying. And somebody is ready for it, and his name is Kali. That is how the rishis told him. And he is saying that he is the one who is ruling the planet. And most of the places where he has visited is places where there is not many people. He goes and declares himself to be in charge in those places. But you will find him in where places where it is more darkness. Where there is more darkness. And he encourages all kinds of activities which is against the social customs. Opposing the peaceful functioning of the society. He encourages that. Practically he is like a leader in the underground. You heard that, didn't you? All big cities have got underground activities, isn't it? Unknown to the police, unknown to the government. Underground dealings goes on. Places like Bombay, they have that, isn't it? So, similar situation. That so when Parikshit is ruling the planet, this Kali is also running a parallel government in his own way. He's running a parallel government everywhere. And Parikshit could not understand this. And Parikshit was very curious to find out who this is. And just the rishis told him that there is something like that. He says there that Yada Parikshit Kurujangale Avasal Kalim Pravishtam Nija Chakravartite Nija Chakravartite Nishamya Varta Anati Priyam Tada Sharasanam Samyuga Shaundiradade. That immediately Parikshit took the decision that if it is like that, I have to have a control over him, that person. And only after that, I will put my sword away. Saying that, and he says there, later on he mentions there that, isn't it? That if you look in the verses, that he mentions that in the, if you'll see there in the how that decision was executed in the 17th chapter and the 41st verse. Athaidanina seveda bubushu purusha kochil visheshado dharma shilo raja lokapadir guru. That is his understanding. Raja lokapadir guru. Raja means, the king means, he is the spiritual master of the whole world. He is the whole controller. And the personality who has to please the whole world like the moon. That is how they compare them to. Like the moon. So, when he heard that in his own kingdom, that there is someone operating who does not like Krishna consciousness and who does not like to hear about Krishna and who is working totally opposite to spiritual life and Krishna consciousness. If somebody is there like that, I have to find out who that is. And he decided that I have to nip in the bud itself this problem. And he decided that only after that I will leave my weapons. Saying this, he started the journey. So he dressed up not as a king, in a incognito, or dressed in a different way, that he was moving around. It was at that time, Prapta Prajim Sarasvatim, Sarasvati river bank. At that time Sarasvati river was there, and at the banks of this river, Sarasvati river, he met Kali. He met Kali. How did he meet Kali? That meeting between Kali and Parikshit. So there was a cow standing there and a bull. And this person, Kali, was trying to punish them both. It's like children, when they are small children, they dress up like king, queen and all that to playing their different roles in the drama. And they will sit on the throne and say, I am the king. Similarly, when they hold the sword, that sword also will be a plastic piece or cardboard or something like that. So here, our Kali has no sword, he has got a large stick in his hand, but he is declaring himself to be the king. And whom he is beating? He is beating this cow and the bull. That is his kingdom. Beating this cow and the bull. That's why in the Bhagavatam it says, Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. You will see there. Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. In the 18th chapter, you'll see about Kalina. Kali's position is like that. Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. I think it is there's a special verse used for talking about Kali. Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. So, in order to show to us his nature, Kali's nature, that he's not able to deal with a cow or a bull who is strong. He won't go close to them. But this cow and the bull is in a very weak state. Very, very weak state. She is crying and the tears are coming from her. And if you look at that cow, it will appear as though she is about to die. Similarly, the bull also, unable to even stand up properly. So he is beating this cow and the bull. Already three legs of the bull has gone, beaten by Kali. And he wants to beat the fourth leg as well of the bull. And Kali is getting some happiness from that. So it is only to show to us, this is what that mentality in the Kali's nature. Kali's nature is like that. Pabaya dramade janaha. That means to engage in sinful activities and getting pleasure from that. A cow which is almost to die is beating that cow. And a bull which has already broken three legs, the fourth leg it's beating that bull as well. And finding some pleasure from that. So why is it spoken like that? It is. If we look into ourselves inside, you will see there, this Kali's tendency in all of us is there. That means when somebody else is suffering in life, finding some happiness from that. From where it's coming, we don't know. It's there. It comes from inside. So if it is like that, it is there, that you can see that these little things, people find it in life. You can see this in the sports also to some extent. Sometimes you see this car racing and all that. They have such Formula One, Formula, all these kind of cars racing. It's a very cruel game, isn't it? Many times such accidents happen. Legs broken, hands broken. Whole thing gets caught fire. And people who are watching all these things, and when people get broken in the hands and legs, people feeling happy about that. That's their entertainment. That's their entertainment, isn't it? So, when somebody dies in the car crash, or not only car race, there are so many other sports in the same way. Even in football, you'll find similar things. How people could get some kind of thrill from that, giving so much pain to somebody and then deriving some pleasure from that. A very crude way, cruel way of, this is that Kali's nature inside us. When somebody else is suffering, feeling some happiness inside. This is a speciality with Kali. Speciality with Kali. You will see this in many, many sports also, and a lot of people enjoying that. Similarly, you have much more prominent one, like this bullfighting and things like that. I don't know, I think it's banned now or something. But whatever it is, that nature of Kali is in all of us. And particularly you will find in the sports field and places like that. Pabeya Brahmade Janaha, engaging in sinful activities, and there is a Brahman from that. And if ever, when you seeing others suffering, and if you are feeling some happiness from that, that is nothing but a manifestation of that Kali inside us. That's a way to understand. That if we are feeling happiness in the misery of so many other people, of course in the sports field it is done in this particular way. And we say that, oh, who asked him to drive the car at that speed and crash himself? That. But then so many times it is an entertainment for the public who pays for it, isn't it? That's where the money is coming from. And the money supports these kinds of games, and in that process, often you will find people getting heavily injured. And from that, the kind of happiness in people's people who are watching that. So Kali was giving pain to that cow as well as the bull. When he saw this, Parikshit saw this, he couldn't tolerate that. Pulled out his sword and went close to him. And he was listening to their conversation. At that time he could understand that this was the person whom the rishis were referring to. Whom the rishis were referring to, who was dressed up like a king and trying to create problems for others. So he was listening to the conversation between the cow and the bull. So the bull is saying to the cow, when Krishna was on the planet, how fortunate you were. Basically, this cow bull is the personification of the earth and Dharmaraja. So, earth is present in the form of cow. So the bull is asking the cow that when Krishna was present in the planet, how happy you were. He says that you were one enjoying life at that time, Krishna's, because Krishna was walking on your chest. Krishna was walking on your chest. Was it not giving you extreme happiness at that time? Especially Krishna with his little feet when he walked on this planet. Bhumi Devi says her body was actually in ecstasy all the time. This is her gross body, isn't it? The earthly planet is her gross body. So she was in ecstasy at that time when Krishna was walking on this planet. And who were more fortunate than you? Who else was more fortunate than you? Because even the heavenly planets did not get that happiness. They didn't get this opportunity. So Bhumi Devi used to feel more proud than the heavenly planets, because Krishna was walking on her chest. And how fortunate, not only that, all the Loga Balamsha Sambhavam, that means the Pandavas, they were also here. And they were enjoying Krishna's mercy here. And you could see the Mother Earth enjoying that time when Krishna and the Pandavas were here. And even Lord Brahma and other demigods were glorifying you. Bhumi Devi says to the bull, there was a time like that for me. I had that time. But all that is now some memory. That's gone. That's changed. And that is over now. And all the three planetary systems, they were envious of me, my good fortune. That's what he's saying there also. You will see in that 16th chapter. 35. Yovaimamadi param asuravamsharat ayam akshauhini shatamabhanudalmatantram tuam dustamuna padam atmani paurusheena sambhadayan yadrushu remyam abhibradangam kave sahetam. The one before that also. Tasyaham abjakalila angushaketu ketai shrimalpadir bhagavada samalam kradangri tri natyaroja ubalabhyatado vibhudim lokan samam visrajadul smayadim tadandim. When Krishna walked on this planet, how she was feeling the ecstasy of Krishna's presence here. So, everyone in this world, even those who are in the Brahma's planet, envious of who? Envious of Bhumi Devi, isn't it? So, as soon as that this incident happened, that the cow and the bull, this conversation was being listened to by Parikshit. Parikshit gone there and he decided to kill Kali straight away. Pulled out the sword and at that time Kali fell at his feet and asked for forgiveness. Kept on begging not to kill him. The king told him, Parikshit told him, that as a Kshatriya, you have caught my feet, therefore I have to give you protection. So therefore he says there, in the 31st verse you will see, in the 17th chapter, that Vyaja Vacha, Nadhe Guda Kesesho Dharanam Baddhanjalir Vai Bhayamasti Kinjil Navartidavyam Bhavada Katanchana Kshetre Madiyetum Atharma Bandhu. This is our tradition, he said. If somebody has taken shelter, we give them shelter. Therefore, you don't have to frightened about that. But, amartyasyani pangavat, that you cannot do what you are doing here. Because you have asked for forgiveness and I give you this forgiveness, but if you still continue these activities, for the moment nobody may kill you, but I will not allow your activities to go on like the way it is going on now. Parikshit warned Kali at that time. So, I will cut your hands off, he said to him. Kali fell at his feet and told him, please don't kill me, don't cut my hands off. I will not do these mistakes again, he said. And whatever I have done, I am asking for forgiveness, he said. And from now on, I will follow your instructions. Kali is saying that. You will see that in the 36th verse. Kali Ruvaja. Yatra kvajanaval siyami sarva bhauma tava ajnaya lakshaye tatra tatra abhi tvam ateshu sharasanam. He says that. And Kalina dhira bhiruna. So this is the situation with Kali. Kalina dhira bhiruna. He is acting like a very bold person, but actually he is very fearful of the king, and Dhira Bhiru, that is Kali's situation. When he hold on to Parikshit's feet and asking for forgiveness, you may feel some compassion for him. You feel sorry for him. But finally, the king thought about this and he told him, he's holding my feet and asking for forgiveness. He told him that Dyudam Panam Striya Sunam Yatra Dharmas Chaturvidha. 38th verse. Sudha Goswami says there. These four places, he said to him. And then Punascha Yajamanayam Jadarupam Adal Prabhu. That was the important part there. That he told him that wherever these four things going on, Dyudam means gambling, Panam, alcohol, and then Dyudam, Striya, illicit relationship with women, and Sunam, slaughterhouses, killing animals. If these things, wherever it is going on, you can go and live there. That was Parikshit's decision. to show to us that these four places must be avoided. Dyudam, Panam, Sriyasunam. In those places, Kali is present, always present. Ali will be there. Dyudam, Panam, Sriyasunam. Yatra Dharma Chaturvida. And then Kali is so funny that after this, Kali says to Parikshit, that whatever you have given me, I'll take it. But if you can give me a little bit more. Like a negotiation is started. So when he asked that, in business they do like that, isn't it? To make the best deal out of business. It is the same mood, Kali's nature is saying there. So he started saying something more, if you can give it to me. Another full position stayed also, another place is also offered to him. That is what it is. Punascha yajamanaya jadarubamadal prabhu. Punascha yajamanaya jadarubamadal prabhu. That wherever there is plenty of gold, you can stay there. You'll get taken care of very well. So those who are accumulating gold can be a little bit cautious about that as well. This will all end up like this. Kali's place that is, it ends up somehow or the other, it develops in that way. So like this, five places. Dyudam Bhanam Sriya Sunam, then Punascha Vyajamanaya Jadarubamadal Prabhu. The Vindam, again he has begged for that and he was offered that place as well. So, Athaidanina Seveda Bhubhusha Purusha Kwajal Visheshado Dharma Shilo Raja Lokavadir Guru. So, Kali, the way it has spoken here, that Parikshit Maharaj, through his activities, he had shown to us how to control Kali. How to control Kali? The way to control Kali is these four things to avoid, number one. And secondly, that fifth place, not make it as a place for accumulation of wealth. Wherever there is too much wealth, and wherever there is these four activities going on, Kali will be present there. There's nothing we can do about it. But Parikshit is showing to us, how can one remain aloof from the influence of Kali? So, that is what it is. And the fifth place is gold, and to avoid that as well. So, those who are complaining, oh, we were born in the age of Kali. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? We can't do anything if the age is Kali. But Bhagavatam is telling us, Kali may be there, but if you can control yourself by staying away from these four things, plus the gold, Bhagavatam is giving us that advice to us. And how Parikshit Maharaj controlled Kali, that is the same way others are meant to follow. But because there is no knowledge in the people who are running the administration everywhere, therefore there is no control. That is why Kali Yuga is prominent. Kali is prominent because we allow that, we provide Kali all the facilities to survive here, isn't it? So, Parikshit Maharaj controlled the Kali in that way and continued his administration, but Krishna's instruction was, Krishna's desire was, to so to say, that same Kali whom Parikshit has controlled has got Parikshit later. See that? The Kali which Parikshit has controlled, that Kali alone has caused a problem for Parikshit and made Parikshit to come to the river bank of Ganga River, and that incident, how that happened, all that is being spoken. All that is being spoken in the next chapter. So, Sudha Goswami is now saying to Shravanaga Rishi, after talking about Kalis, that you can read through the Bhagavatam verses there, that very the same things, how that has affected Parikshit himself, who has tried to control Kali, how that has affected Parikshit also, and how it changed the whole situations. That is what you will find in the next chapter. And one more, two more chapters, and then you will see Shobhramashi coming to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, 18th chapter, Rajnyastu Ashtadashe Tasya Brahmashapo Nirupyade Sajanugraham Evasya Jato Vairagyam Avahan. That a curse happened to by the Brahmana. Brahmana cursed Parikshit, and that curse has helped to increase that Vairagyam he had before. Already he had Vairagyam. To that, the further next, this curse from this Brahmana boy, how that has accelerated his Vairagyam. And that curse developed into a blessing for him later, and that is what is in this 18th chapter. Next chapter we are talking about it. And in the 19th chapter, what you will find there is that Parikshit Maharaj traveling to Prayobavishte Gangayam Raji Yogi Janavade Shugasyagavanam Tatra Prokta Megana Vimshake. That he decided to perform Prayobavesham. Prayobavesham means sitting in one place and giving up the body. And there Parikshit was sitting with all the other rishis who were present there, and Shuka Brahmashi arrives there. All that is spoken in the 19th chapter. So, with that 19th chapter, the first canto finishes. So, let's read that and we'll talk about it a little bit about those two chapters now.
Shri Suta Uvacham Yo Vaidram Yastra Viplushto Namadurudare Mrada Anugrahal Bhagavada Krishna Syalbhuda Karmana Brahma Govodhi Kopothida Adyastu Tatshagal Prana Viplaval Nasammo Horubhayal Bhagavati Arpida Ashaya Ulsrajya Sarvada Sangam Vijnadajita Samstiti Vayasagir Jahoshishyo Gangayam Samkalebaram Notam Ashloka Vartanam Jushadam Dalkatham Rudam Syal Sambrahma Mandagale Vismaradam Dalpadam Bujam Taval Kalirna Prabhavil Pravishto Biha Sarvada Yavadisho Mahanurvyam Abhimanyivame Karad Yasmin Mahani Yarkheva Bhagavan Ulsasar Jagam Tadeve Hanuvurto Savatharma Prabhavakali Nanudveshtigalim Samran Sarangamiva Sarabukha Kushalanya Shasidhyandi Netarani Kradaniyal Kinnu Balesha Shurena Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. See that? Kalina Dhira Bhiruna. Apramatta Pramateshu Yovrigo Nushuvartade Ubavarnidame Edadva Punyam Parichidam Maya Vasudeva Kado Obedam Akhyanam Yada Prachada Yaya Katha Bhagavada Kathani Yoru Garmana Gunagarma Shreya Pumbil Stamse Vyasta Bhubushubi Krishaya Ojo Sudajiva Samasamya Shashudir Vishadam Yasha Yastum Shamsasi Krishnasya Martyana Mamartam Hina Karmanyasminana Anashwase Duma Duma Dumralpanam Bhavan Abhaya Yadi Govinda Padavalpasavam Madhu Tulayamalavena Bitna Surgamna Punarbhavam Bhagaval Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutashisham Ko Namadrupyendra Savil Kathaya Mahatame Ganda Parayanasya Nandam Gunana Magunasya Jagmu Yogeshiraye Papalpa Mukhyaham Tanno Bhavanme Bhagaval Pradhano Mahatame Ganda Parayanasya Hare Rudaram Jaridam Vishuddham Shushushadam To Vidanodu Vidwan Savai Mahabhagavada Parishil Denava Vargagimada Brabuddhi Jnanena Vayasaki Shabdi Dena Pejekha Gendra Dujapadamulam Tanaparam Punyama Sambradatha Akhyana Matyalbuda Yoga Nishtam Akhyahyananda Jarido Bhavanam Parichidam Bhagavadabhiramam Shri Suta Vajam Aho Vayam Janmurdodhyasam Buddhanu Vritya Abhiviloma Jada Daushkalyamadim Vidhano Dishikram Mahatamanam Abhidhana Yoga Kudapunar Granado Namadasya Mahatamega Andabarayanasya Yo Ananda Shaktir Bhagavan Anando Mahalgunatwadya Ananda Maho Eta Vadalam Nanasujidena Kunaira Samyana Dishayanasya Hitvedanan Pratyado Vibhudi Asya Angrenam Jushadena Bhipsoho യഥാഭിയൽപാദനഹാവസൃഷ്ടം ജഗദ്ബിരിഞ്ചു അമൃതാർഹനാംഭ ശേഷം പുനാത്യന്യതമോ മുകുന്ദാൽ കോ നാമലോകേ ഭഗവൽപദാർത്ഥം. യത്രാനുരക്താ സഹസൈവ ധീര വിമോഹ്യ ദേഹാദിഷു സംഗമൂഢം വ്രജന്തി തൽ പാരമഹംസ്യമന്ത്യം യസ്മിന്നഹിംസോപശമസ്വധർമ്മ അഹം ഹി പൃഷ്ടോ രമണോഭവൽബി ആജക്ഷാത്മാവിഗമോത്രയാവാൻ നഭ പദന്ത്യാത്മസമം പദത്രിണ സഥാസമം വിഷ്ണുഗതിം വിവശ്ചിതാം ഏകദാ തനുരുദ്ധ്യം വിചരൻ മൃഗയാം വനെ മൃഗാനനുഗത ശ്രാന്താക്ഷുതിദസ്തൃഷിതോ ഭൃശം ജലാശയമജക്ഷാണാം പ്രവിവേശതമാശ്രമം ദദർശമനിമാസീനം ശാന്തം മീലിതലോചനം പ്രതിരുദ്ധേന്ദ്രിയ പ്രാണമനോ ബുദ്ധിമുഭാരതം സ്ഥാനത്രയാൽ പരം പ്രാപ്തം ബ്രഹ്മഭൂതമവിക്രിയം വിപ്രകീർണചണ്ടാച്ഛന്നം രൗരവേണാചിനേന ച വിശുഷ്യത്താലുരതകം തഥാഭൂതമയാചതാം അലബ്ധത്തണഭൂമ്യാദീരസംപ്രാപ്താഖ്യസൂനൃത അവജ്ഞാനമിവാത്മാനം മന്യമാനശ്ചുകോപഃ അഭൂതപൂർവസഹസാക്ഷുതൃഭ്യാമർത്തിദാൽപനബ്രാഹ്മണം വൃത്യഭൂദ്ബ്രഹ്മൻ മത്സരോ മന്യുരേവ ച സദുബ്രഹ്മഋഷേരംസേ ഗദാസുമരകം മൃഷ വിനിർഗച്ഛന്തനുഷ്കോഠ്യാം നിധായ പരമാഗമൽ ഏഷ ഗണ്യപ്രദാശേഷം കരണോ മീലിതേ ക്ഷണ മൃഷാസമാതിരാഹോ സ്വൽക്കിന്നു സ്വാക്ഷത്രബന്ധുമീ തസ്യ പുത്രോതി തേജസ്സി വിഹരൻ ബാലകോർഭകൈ താജ്ഞാഹം പ്രാപിതം താതം ശ്രുത്വാ തത്രേതമബ്രവീൽ അഹോം അധർമ്മബാലാനാം ഭീമനാം ബലിഭുജാമിവ സ്വാമിന്യഗമ്യദാസാനാം ദ്വാരപാനാം ശൃണാമിവ ബ്രഹ്മണേ ക്ഷത്രബന്ധുർ ഹി ദ്വാരവാലോ നിരൂപിത സകതം തൽഗൃഹേ ദ്വാസ്തം സഭാണ്ഡം ഭോക്തുമർഹതി കൃഷ്ണേ ഭഗവതി ഭഗവതി ശാസ്ത്രീയൽപദഗാമിനാം തൽഭിന്ന സേതൂരദ്യഹം ശാസ്ത്രി പശ്യേതമേ ബലം ഇത്യുക്ത്വാ രുഷതാം രാക്ഷോ വയസ്യാം ഋഷിഭാലക കൗശിക്യാമുപസ്പൃശ്യ വാഗ്വർജം വിസസർജഃ ഇതി ലംഘിത മര്യാദം ദക്ഷക സപ്തമേ ഹനി ദംഷതി സ്മകുലാങ്കാരം ചോദിതോ മേ തദ്ഗൃഹം തദോഭ്യാത്യാശ്രമം ബാലോകളെ സർവകളെ വരം പിതരം വീക്ഷ ദുഃഖാർത്ഥോ മുക്തകണ്ഠോ നിരോധ സവാ ആംഗിരസോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ ശ്രുത്വാ സുതവിലാവനം ഉന്മീല ശനകേർ നേത്രേ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സ്വാം സേ മൃദോരകം വിസൃജ്യ പുത്രം പ്രച്ഛവത്സകുസ്മാതിരോദിഷി കേനവാദേ പ്രതീകൃതം ഇത്യുക്ത സ്തന്യവേദയിൽ നിശം നിശബ്ദം മതദർഹം നരേന്ദ്രം സബ്രാഹ്മണോ ആത്മജമഭ്യനന്ദൽ അഹോപതാം ഹോ മഹതജ്ഞതേ കൃതം അൽപീയസി ദ്രോഹമുരുദ്ധമോ ധൃതാം നവൈ പ്രഭിർന്നരദേവം പരാക്യം സംവാദമർഹസ്യ വിപക്ക ബുദ്ധേ യ തേജസാദുർവിഷഹേണ ഗുപ്ത വിന്ദന്തി ഭദ്രാണ്യഗുതോ ഭയാ പ്രജാഹം അലക്ഷ്യമാണേ നരദേവനാമി രഥാംഗമാണ വയം അംഗലോക തദാഹി ചോരപ്രചുരോ വിനംശ രത്യരക്ഷ്യമാണോ വിവരൂധവൽക്ഷണാൽ തദ്ദിന പാപോമൈക്കിനന്വയം ഇത നഷ്ടനാദസ്യ വസോർ വിലുംബകൽ പരസ്പരം തന്തി ശബന്തി വൃഞ്ചതേ പശുൻ സ്ത്രീയോർത്ഥാൻ പുരുദസ്യ വോജനാഹ തധാരിധർമ്മശ്ച വിലീയതേ നൃണ വർണ്ണാശ്രമാചാരയുതസ്ത്രയീമയ തദർത്ഥ തദോർത്ഥകാമാഭിനിവേശിതാത്മനാം ശുനാം കബീനാമിവ വർണ്ണസങ്കരാഹ ധർമ്മബാലോ നരപതി സൗ സമ്രാട് ബൃഹച്ഛവ സാക്ഷാൻ മഹാൽ ഭാഗവതോ രാജർഷിർ ഹയമേധയാൻ ക്ഷുത്രശ്രമൈതോ ദീനോ നൈവാസ്മച്ചാപമർഹതി അപാപേഷു സ്വഭൃത്യേഷു ബാലേന വക്കുബുദ്ധിന പാപകൃതം പാപം കൃതം തൽ ഭഗവാൻ സർവാത്മാക്ഷന്തുമർഹതി തിരസ്കൃതാ വിപ്രലബ്ധാ ശബ്ദാ ക്ഷിപ്താ ഹതാമപി നാസ്തി തൽ പ്രതികുർവന്തി തൽ ഭക്താ പ്രഭവോഭി ഇതി പുത്രകഥാഖ്യേന സൂനിതപ്തോ മഹാമുനി സ്വയം വിപ്രകൃതോ രാജ്യ നൈവാഹം തദചിന്തയൽ പ്രായശ സാധവോ ലോകേ പയർദ്വന്ദേഷു യോജിത ന വ്യഥന്തി ന ഹൃഷ്യന്തി യദ ആത്മാ ഗുണാശ്രയാദി ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം പ്രഥമസ്കന്ദേ വിപ്രശാപോ വിലംബനം നാമ അഷ്ടാദശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ പ്രായോപവിഷ്ടേ ഗംഗായാം രാജ്യയോഗിജനാമൃതേ ശുഗസ്യാഗമനം തത്ര പ്രോക്തമേകാന വിംശകേം സോ വെരി ഹി വാസ് വെൻ പരീക്ഷിത് ഹാസ് ടേക്കൻ ദിസ് റോൾ ടു ഗിവ് അപ്പ് ഹിസ് ബോഡി ആൻഡ് ഹി വാസ് സിറ്റിംഗ് ദർ വിത്ത് ഓൾ അദർ ഋഷീസ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ടൈം Shukabrahmashi is arriving there. That is what is spoken in this last chapter, in this canto. Shri Sudha Vaja, Mahi Badistudal Karmagarhyam Vijindayan Almagradam Sudurmana Ahomayani Jamanaryaval Kradam Iragasi Brahmani Gudatejasi Dhruvotadome Kradadeva Helal Duratayam Visanam Nadi Dirghal Tadastugamam Akhanushkrida Yame Yathana Guryam Punereva Madha അദ്യൈവ രാജ്യം ബലമൃദ്ധകോശം പ്രകോപിത ബ്രഹ്മകുലാനലോമേ ധാത്വഭദ്രസുനർമ്മമേ ഭൂൽ പാപീയസീ ധീർദ്വിജദേവഗോഭ്യം സച്ചിന്തയനിധമനശൃണോദ്യതാപുനീസുതോക്തോനിരതിസ്തക്ഷകാഖ്യം ഇതി വ്യവച്ഛിദ്യസമാണ്ഡവേയം പ്രായോപവേശം പ്രതി വിഷ്ണുപദ്യം തദ്ധ്യോ മുകുന്ദാംഗ്രിമനന്യഭാവോ മുനിവ്രതം മുക്തസമസ്തസംഗാഃ തത്രോപജന്മർഭുവനം പുരാണം മഹാനുഭാവോ മുനയസ്സു ശിഷ്യാഃ പ്രായണ തീർത്ഥാഭിഗമാപദേശൈ സ്വയം ഹി തീർത്ഥാനി പുനന്തി സന്തഃ അത്ര വസിഷ്ഠശ്ചവന ശരദ്വാർ അരിഷ്ടനേമിർഭൃഗിരംഗിരാശ്ച പരാശരോഗാദിസുതോധരാമ ഉദത്ത ഇന്ദ്രപ്രമധേത്മവാഹോ മേധാതിർദേവലമാർഷ്ടിഷേണ ഭാരദ്വാജോ ഗൗതമപി പലാദ മൈത്രേയ ഔർവ കവശ കുംഭയോനിർദ്വൈഭായനോ ഭഗവാൻ നാരദശ്ച അന്യേജ ദേവർഷി ബ്രഹ്മർഷിവര്യാം രാജർഷിവര്യാം അരുണാദേശ്ച നാനാർഷേയ പ്രവരാൻ സമേത അഭ്യർച്ച രാജ ശിരസാവന്ദേ സുഖോപവിഷ്ടേഷ്ണഭൂയഷഭൂയം കൃതപ്രണാമസ്വചികീർഷിതം യൽ വിജ്ഞാപയാമാസ വിയുക്തചേത ഉപസ്ഥിതോഗ്രേഭിഗൃഹീതപാണി ശ്രീരാജവാച അഹോ വയം ധനിതമാ നൃപാണ മഹത്തമാനുഗ്രഹണീയ ശീല രാജ്ഞാം കുലാം ബ്രാഹ്മണപാദ ശൗചാൽ ദൂരാത് വിശിഷ്ടം പദ ഗ്രഹ്യകർമ്മം തസ്യ മേഘസ്യ വരാവരേഷോ വ്യാസക്ചൈത്യസ്യ ഗൃഹേഷോ ഭീഷണം നിർവേദമൂലോ ദ്വിജശാവരൂപോ യത്ര പ്രസക്തോ ഭയമാശുദത്തേ തം ഓപയാന്നം പ്രതിയന്തു വിപ്രാം ഗംഗാജദേവീ ധൃതചിത്തമീശേ ദ്വിജോപസൃഷ്ടകോഹസ്തക്ഷകോ വാ അശത്വലം ഗായത വിഷ്ണുഘാതാം പുനശ്ച ഭൂയാത് ഭഗവത്യനന്ദേരതി പ്രസംഗശ്ച തദാശ്രയേഷു മഹൽസുയാമ്യാം ഉപയാമി സൃഷ്ടിം മൈത്രേസ്തു സർവത്ര നമോ ദ്വിജേഭ്യാം ഇതി സ്മരാജാധ്യവസായേ യുക്താം പ്രാചീനമൂലേഷു കുശേഷു ധീര ഉദാമുഖോ ദക്ഷിണകൂലമാസ്തേ സമുദ്രപത്നിയാസ്തു സുധന്യ സമുദ്രപത്നുസുധന്യസ്തഭാരം ജതസ്മിൻ നരദേവദേവേ പ്രായോപവിഷ്ടേ ദിവിദേവസംഗ പ്രശസ്തി ഭൂമോ വിഗ്രൻ പ്രസൂനിർ മുദാമുഹുർദുന്ദുവയശ്ച നേതു മഹർഷയോ വൈ സമുപാഗതായേ പ്രശസ്ത സാധ്യത്യനുമോദമാനം ഊജു പ്രജാനുഗ്രഹശീലസാര യദുത്തമ ശ്ലോക ഗുണാഭിരൂപം നവായിരം രാജർഷിവര്യചിത്രം പവത്സുകൃഷ്ണം സമനുവ്രതേഷു ഏ അധ്യാസനം രാജഗിരീടജുഷ്ടം സദ്യോ ജഗുർഭഗവൽപാർശ്വകാമാഃ സർവേ വയം നവിഹാസ്മഹേദ്യം കളേബരം യാവദസൌ വിഹായ ലോകംബരം വിരജസ്കം വിശോകം യാസ്യത്യയം ഭാഗവത പ്രധാന ആശ്രിതദൃശികണമജ പരീക്ഷിൽ സമ്മതിച്ചൽ ഗുരുജാവ്യലേകം ആഭാഷനൈതാനഭിനന്ദ്യയുക്താൻ ശുശ്രൂഷമാണശ്ചരിതാനി വിഷ്ണോ സമാഗതാ സർവതമേവ സർവേ വേദായതാ മൂർത്തിധരാ സ്ത്രീപൃഷ്ടേ നേഹാധവാമൂത്രജ കശ്ചനാർത്ഥം ഹൃദയ പരാനുഗ്രഹമാത്മശീലം തതശ്ച വപൃച്ഛമിമം വിപൃച്ഛേ വിശ്രഭ വിപ്രായതി കൃത്യതായാം സർവാത്മനാമ്രിയമാണേശ്ച കൃത്യം ശുദ്ധം ജതത്രാമൃഷദാഭിയുക്താഹം തത്രാഭവൽ ഭഗവാൻ വ്യാസപുത്രോ യദൃച്ഛയാഗാം അടമാനോ അനപേക്ഷാം അലക്ഷ്യലിംഗോ നിജലാപതുഷ്ടോ പ്രതിഷ്ഠ ബാലൈ അവധൂതവേഷാഃ ത്വം ദുഷ്ടവർഷം സുകുമാരപാദം കരോരുബാഹുംസ കപോലഗാത്രം ചാർവായദാക്ഷോന്നസൂല്യകർണം സുഭ്രാനനം കമ്പുസുജാതകണ്ഠം നിഗൂഢവിത്രം പൃതതുംഗവക്ഷസം ആവർത്തനാഭിംബലിവൽഗുതരം ച വൽഗുതരം ച ദിഗംബരം വക്രവികീർണകേശം പ്രളംബബാഹും സുമരോത്തമാഭം ശ്യാമം സദാബീച്ഛവയോംഗലക്ഷ്മ്യാ സ്ത്രീണാം മനോജ്ഞം രുചിരശ്മിതേന പ്രത്യുത്യദാസ്തേ മുനയസ്വാസരേഭ്യം സ്ഥലക്ഷണജ്ഞാമഭി ഗൂഢവർച്ചസം സ വിഷുരാധോദിതയുമാഗതായ തസ്മൈ സവര്യാം ശിരസാ ജഹാര തതോ നിവൃത്താഹ്യബുധാ സ്ത്രീയോർഭക മഹാസനേ സോപവിവേശപൂജിതാഃ സ സമൃതസ്തത്ര മഹാൻ മഹീയസാം ബ്രഹ്മർഷിരാജർഷി ദേവർഷി സംഘൈ വരോചനാലം ഭഗവാൻ യഥേന്ദ്രോ ഗ്രഹരക്ഷതാരാനികരൈ പരീതാം പ്രശാന്തമാസീനവകുണ്ഠമേധസം മുനീന്ദ്രവോ ഭാഗവതോഭ്യുപേത്യ പ്രണമ്യമൂദ്രാമീരകൃതാഞ്ജലിർ നത്വാഗിര സൂർമതയ അന്വപൃച്ഛൽ പരീക്ഷിതുവാചാം അഹോ മദ്യവയം ബ്രഹ്മൻ സൽസേവ്യ ക്ഷത്രബന്ധവ കൃപയാതിരുവേണ ഭവന്തി തീർത്ഥകാകൃത യേഷാം സംസ്മരണാൽപുംസാം സഭ്യ സദ്യ ശുദ്ധ്യന്തി വൈ ഗൃഹ കിം പുനർദർശന സ്പർശ പാദശൗചാസനാധിപി സാന്നിധ്യത്തെ മഹായോഗീൻ പാതകാനി മഹാന്ത്യപി സദ്യോ നശ്യന്തി വൈ പുംസാം വിഷ്ണോരിവ സുരേതരാം അഭിമേ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രീത കൃഷ്ണപാണ്ഡുസദപ്രിയ പൈതൃശ്വസ്യ പ്രീത്യർത്ഥം തൽ ഗോത്രസ്യാത്തബാന്ധവ അന്യഥാദ്യ അവ്യക്തഗതിർദർശനം നഥം തൃണാം നിതരാം മ്രിയമാണാനാം സംസിദ്ധസ്യ മനീയസാം
അതപൃച്ഛാമി സംസിദ്ധ്യം യോഗിനാം പരമം ഗുരും പുരുഷസ്യഹയൽക്കാര്യം പ്രിയമാണസ്യ സർവദാം യശ്രോത്തവ്യമതോ ജപ്യം മൽക്കർത്തവ്യം നൃപിപ്രഭോ സ്മർത്തവ്യം ഭജനീയം വ ബ്രൂഹി യദ്വാ വിപര്യയം നൂനം ഭഗവതോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ ഗൃഹേഷു ഗൃഹമേദിനാം ന ലക്ഷ്യസേ ന ലക്ഷ്യതേ അവസ്ഥാനം അഭിഗോദോഹനം ക്വചിൽ സൂത ഉവാച ഏവമഭാഷിത പൃഷ്ടാസരാജ്ഞാ ശ്രഷ്ണയാ ഗിര പ്രത്യഭാഷ ധർമ്മജ്ഞോ ഭഗവാൻ പാദരായണി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണി പരമഹംസ്യം സംഹിതായം പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ ശുഭാഗമനം നമ ഏകോനവിംശോധ്യായം സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ.
സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് ടൈം പരീക്ഷിത് മഹാരാജ് ഹാസ് കൺട്രോൾഡ് കലി. ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ദാറ്റ് പാർട്ട് വിച്ച് വി സ്പോക്ക് ബിഫോർ. That, why it was that spoken, the reason was this, that Pandava's kingdom was all the seven islands or Saptadvipavati, whole Jambudvipam was under their control. So this whole earthly planet, very clearly Bhagavatam says there, that was under their control, the whole planet was under their control. So part of Pandava's time, it is this planet that was handed over to Parikshit. So, question will come that was he finding it difficult to manage the whole planet? Is it because of that he gave up the planet administration and come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? In order to show that to us, it is not that way, that actually Parikshit had a better capacity than Pandavas for administration. Pandavas has never done anything about the Kali. Nothing was done. But Kali is the Adidevada for this Yugam, isn't it? He is the predominating deity for this age. So Parikshit Maharaj is that personality who kept Kali under control. So not that he did not have that ability in him, but then why did he come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? And that is Krishna's grace. Krishna's grace to him. So at the age of 36, he started the administration. Parikshit became the emperor, and he came at the age of 60 to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. He was 60 years old when he came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna felt that it was time for him, that his devotee has ruled the planet sufficiently, and now let him come back to the spiritual world. Krishna has thought about him in that way. Not only that, he has also accepted that through this Parikshit, Srimad Bhagavatam should remain in this world. So that is all being spoken here. It is not due to the king's defect or fault, or due to sinful activities, or that is not that he was lacking in any way Krishna's mercy. That is what they are trying to show to us very specifically. Then the king was not lacking in anything. He had all the capacity to administer the planet. And not only that, he had complete mercy from Krishna in doing that. But in spite of all that, he has decided to come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam to show to us that he was ready for it, for Srimad Bhagavatam. So, king is 60 years old, and kings have this one thing called their entertainment, can say, is hunting, isn't it? Going to the forest and hunt animals. That is allowed for them. And wild animals who give trouble, they are controlled through hunting. The Kshatriya kings are allowed to do that. Not only that, Kshatriyas, because they have to fight the war, they have to experience that fighting spirit to sustain that. They are allowed to fight with the animals, wild animals, very ferocious animals, and get that strength inside to fight. So all that is allowed for the Kshatriyas. And once it so happened that Parikshit Maharaj went for hunting in the forest, and many animals he has been hunting at that time, and by then he got very tired. So the Parikshit Maharaj decided to return to the palace at that time. It was then that he felt that he excessively thirsty. wanted to feel, had to have something to drink, water. So he was looking for a place to have some water. When he looked around in the forest, he saw an ashram there, some rishi's place where they were living. And he sent all his associates, the soldiers who had come with him to go back to the palace, and he went into the ashram looking for some water. When he got there, he thought that if the rishis are there, sages are there, he didn't want to give them trouble by sending somebody. Instead he thought he will go and find out if the water is available, he will take the water and drink. And that was in his intention when he went there. He didn't want to give any trouble to the rishis who were present there. So when he went there, got there, he saw Shamigha Rishi was sitting in meditation. Shamigha Rishi was sitting in meditation. You see that we spoke about this before also, that in the 18th chapter you will see how was he situated. That is mentioned there. That our Shamigha Rishi in the Pratiruddhendriya Pranam, 26th verse. Manobuddhi Uparadam Sthanatrayal Param Praptam Brahma Bhudam Avikriyam. That's the state. Brahma Bhudam Avikriyam. Then Sthanatrayal Param Praptam. That means not in our three states, Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti. That is Sthanatrayam. Sthanatrayam means Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti. Sthanatrayal Param. That means he has gone into the fourth state, Turiya state. Turiyam. He is in that state. Sthanatrayal Param Praptam. And then he says there that Brahma Bhudam Avikriyam. In a Brahma Buddha state, without any involving any actions either. So he was what we say in a transcendental state, isn't it? In a transcendental state. So practically he has no remembrance of his body at that time. When you go into that state, that's what will happen. You are completely disconnected from the body. Or in that samadhi state, he is completely absorbed. So the king goes close to him. As soon as he saw the Shamigha Rishi sitting like that, he said, told him that I need some water. I'm thirsty, I want some water to drink. When he saw this Shamigha Rishi sitting like that, the Rishi didn't move either. Didn't hear. Because he has the fourth state, he don't hear everything what goes on in the other three states. Jagrat Svapnam, remember this always. Krishna mentions this in the Ekadasha Skandam. These three states, Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti, that is Buddhi Vrtaya, Krishna said. Where Buddhi operates, mind operates. Mind and Buddhi. Sakshal Vileshano Jiva Sakshityana Vinishchida. Jiva, when he has gone away from there, when he is in the samadhi state, he wouldn't know what goes on in these three states. That is this. And Krishna has spoken this two, three times in the 11th canto. You will notice this when he is talking to Uddhava. Talking about that, how in that these three states Jiva is floating all the time. But when Jiva transcends these three states and goes into the fourth state, because these three states are a product of Maya. Maya creates that. Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti is a product of Sattvam Rajasa Tamas. When Sattugunam Rajogunam Tamogunam is present in us, which is present in the mind, body, intelligence, everywhere, all these places, the three modes are present. When they are present, we are experiencing these three states. Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti. But when you have moved away from this to the fourth state, Turiya state, modes of nature is not present. You are Brahma Bodham. You are situated in identification with the truth at that time. And you know who you are. No connection with the body. That's what he is saying here. He has no connection with the body at that time. Material nature, Prakriti cannot do anything with him at that time. So if some changes happens in the Prakriti, it won't be noticed by him. If any moves or any movement happens inside the Prakriti, because when Parikshit asked water, it is a movement in the Prakriti. In the modes it is happening, under the three modes. So it does not have any impact on the king there. So But Parikshit, it is not his fault. It is not Shamigrishi's fault. So, but what did the king think about it? King is saying that, how can that be? No matter how much you are in meditation, if I am asking for some water, will he not hear that? Parikshit is thinking like this. And maybe he is hesitant to get up and give me water. Thought he is lazy about it. So that's why he thought it is a Mrusha Samadhi. Mrusha Samadhi means false, not proper Samadhi. It's as was mentioned somewhere there. Yeah. If you look at the 31st verse, it says, Esha kim nibrudha shesha karano nili dekshana. Mrusha Samadhi, ahosvil, kinnasyal shatrabandhuvi. Is it a Mrusha Samadhi? False Samadhi, he is acting like this. He said like that. So, when he said like that, if it is a Mrusha Samadhi, the king felt like that. What can you say? So, what was the reason to think like that? Why did this happen to Parikshit? Because of the influence of Kali. Kali's influence. Because Kali has given four places, Parikshit has given four places to stay. Dyudam, Panam, Sriyasunam. Four places to stay there. And out of that four places, this situation has been analyzed by different commentators, different way. And they have come to different conclusions also about it. One of the reasons they say is this, one of the reasons that four places he has given, out of them one place is Himsa, where there is violence, isn't it? And the king was doing that, killing animals at that point in time. That's what they were doing. And he has given enough pain to so many other living entities. So it is at that time, through that path, Kali has got inside him. Kali has got inside him, inside Parikshit Maharaj. Although Kshatriya kings are allowed to do that, these things will have its own effect also. That you can't write it off. Allowed means what? Allowed does not mean that it won't have its impact on you. If the Kshatriya kings does this, hunting is allowed for them, but at the same time, the after effect of that will not go away. When he has killed the animals, because of killing animals, slaughtering animals in hunting process, the sinful activity has followed the king in the form of Kali and got inside Parikshit. And that is what made Parikshit to think like this about the Rishi, about Shamigrishi. Actually, Parikshit has given the place for Kali to stay. For a Kali. Parikshit decided that, isn't it? Now what has happened? The king cannot sit anywhere. That situation has happened. The curse has happened. So, this is the way Kali works. This is the way Kali works. So, you can see that in the whole world, if you look around, you will see there that how Kali is working everywhere in one way or the other. Kali operates in all these four places, and the result is that people are all running around everywhere. They are not able to sit anywhere peacefully. Everywhere this situation, isn't it? So many issues like that. Kali's after effect is what we see in our life today. If you properly analyze it, you will notice that. Why are we so disturbed? Why are we all the time in anxiety? This state is due to the influence of Kali inside us. So anyway, Kali has got inside the king, and because of that, this Malsara Buddhi, that why should he feel bad about that? He asked for water. If he knew that he was in meditation, he doesn't have to feel so disturbed over that. He should have looked for some other way. But instead, why he felt that revenge towards that Shamigrishi? Such a thought should not have happened in Parikshit's mind. Instead, what did Parikshit think? Oh, he is not listening to me. He is deliberately not giving attention to what I have asked for. And so, because of that, the reaction in Parikshit, you can observe that a dead snake was lying there. You pick it up with his bow and put it around his neck. And he walked away from there. Parikshit. That's what he did. Very difficult to understand that, isn't it? A person like Parikshit to do that. Because that is not Parikshit's tradition. Respectful to all the rishis, sages, That is how Pandavas have trained him. So why did this happen to Parikshit? But after doing something, a bad thing like that, afterwards he is feeling bad, what he has done. And that is necessary also. If somebody has done something very bad, he should feel about it, that I have done something wrong. People who are not very advanced, they will not feel bad about it. They will keep on doing one after the other. So devotees, they are not supposed to make such mistakes. And if such a thing happens, they will feel bad about it and they will ask for forgiveness. But here the king thought and thought about it. And what have I done? He thought himself that never in my history I could never think of doing such a thing. That's what I've gone and done. Taken this dead snake and put it around the throat. And even my great ancestors, when they were living in the forest, when great Brahmanas had come there and they have shown their hospitality towards them. This is the Pandavas tradition. Pandavas, when they were in the forest, they have even there, they have fed people, many other people who have come to visit them. And I was born in that. And on such a silly thing, I got upset with this king. What made this thing happen? Parikshit started thinking about it. And due to that, Parikshit felt extremely bad for what he has done. To go and put a dead snake on the neck of a rishi who is absorbed in meditation, living in his ashram in a peaceful way. So, actually what I have done, Parikshit says there, that I have done such a thing as very insulting towards the rishis, and immediately he started thinking, praying to Krishna to punish him. To punish him, give the punishment for that, for what he has done. And when he did this, what was happening, when he got back to the palace, and he said to Krishna himself within, he was saying to Krishna that, give me the punishment what I deserve for what I have done. This should not have happened in my life. I shouldn't have done this. And he was feeling extremely bad about what he has done. And at the same time, what was happening, he has got back to the palace now. What was happening in the Rishi's ashram, Shamig Rishi's ashram, that when the king has took this, when the king put this snake, dead snake around his neck, somebody passing through that way, that he has seen this. What he did was, that this son of this Rishi, Shamiga Rishi, he was playing with other children so far away from there. And then he has gone and told the son, who is Shringi, told him that, why are you playing here in this way? Look at, go and see what Parikshit has, King Parikshit has done to your father. And he has thrown a dead snake around his neck and he has gone away from here. So you cannot accept all these things. You cannot accept all these things. So you can see how Kali works. King has done and gone. Somebody else noticed that. He goes and reports that to the son. So the same way how things happen in this world also. So you can see somebody has say something about you to someone else, and when you hear that, oh, you say, oh, has he spoken about me like? We react straight away, isn't it? He doesn't even know the truth, what has been spoken and what has been spoken. So so this is Kali. Kali's nature is like that. Gossiping a lot about others, and somebody else, about somebody, you talk to someone else, and then he hears about you, and then he wants to take revenge for that. So Shringi, that was the son's name, that the Shringi itself, his birth itself is very interesting. The Shringi's birth. Nothing is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it's all in the Mahabharatam, all this part of the story. Shringi, although he is a very little boy, is a very powerful person. Very powerful person. A lot of power. Tapasya. Tapasya means austerities. Although a small boy, extremely strong in the tapasya. And from that, lot of power in him. He's got a lot of power in him. You can see the rishis also has the same nature. They due to their tapas only, that is why they engage in tapas. They acquire many power. Many power, siddhis, all kinds of siddhis they get, all kind of tapashakti they have. Everybody does that, is it not? Rishis used to do that, Hiranyaksha did that, Hiranyakashipu did that. All of them develop that power. But from austerities and penances, knowledge won't come. That's another important point. Knowledge won't come from austerities and penances. Austerities and penances develop siddhis in a person. So that is what has happened here also. That so, and one who gets such power, who does not have that proper discrimination where to use it, it will be like handing over a knife to a child. He will abuse that without thinking about it. So tapashakti, or power from tapas, austerities and penances, should only those people who have good power of discrimination, only they should have that power. Otherwise, it can be abused. These powers can be abused. So, it is good that we don't have that, isn't it? If we had it, imagine what we would have done with it. Think about it. That this tapas is such a powerful weapon, isn't it? So, already we would have murdered so many people with that, our cursing and counter-cursing, everything. We would have already sent many people away from here. So, anyway, what did this boy do? Gave a very good, powerful curse on that him, on Parikshit. As soon as this happened, he saw this, he gave a very strong curse on this Parikshit, and he came back to the ashram and told the father that the king who has insulted my father, 7 days from now, Tatraga will bite him and he will die. That was the curse he gave. And after that, he started crying. The child, isn't it? Anger came and used that power in him to curse the king, and then started crying like a child. He started crying there. That is the interesting part of that. That he gave the curse and then he's standing there and crying in front of the Maharshi, on the Rishi. And the Rishi opened his eyes. Rishi opened his eyes. So, when the son cried, he opened his eyes. He opened his eyes. One of the commentators on Bhagavatam says like this, that from this can you not see that it was a Mrusha Samadhi? How come that when Parikshit Maharaj came and asked for water, he didn't answer? But now when the child came and cried in front of him, he woke up from the Samadhi. From the Samadhi. From there, so is that not a Mrusha Samadhi, a false Samadhi? So, Maharshi or Rishi is in meditation of Krishna. But what commentators have opinion about that is that their devotee, when this devotee Parikshit, when he got cursed by Sringi, that means the son, when he got cursed by Sringi, Krishna, who was inside the heart of Shamiga Rishi, disappeared at the same time. When Sringi cursed Parikshit, at the same moment, Krishna, who was in the heart of Shamiga Rishi, disappeared, and that's why he woke up. All these things are happening. Krishna's plans nobody understands, isn't it? From behind everything is conducted. So Krishna got up and go away. And now Krishna has to protect the devotee. So it was at that time, Shamiga Rishi had seen Krishna inside in that meditation. But suddenly when Krishna disappeared from inside, Shamiga Rishi opened his eyes. That is, he had come back to the three states again. From the fourth state. So, in meditation, he is trying to get the form, but the form is not appearing. So he started finding, and he opened his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, what he saw was this boy standing there, this child standing there. That's all it means. That's how this incidents happens like that. And he didn't wake up by hearing the boy crying. Instead, when Krishna disappeared from the samadhi, that is how he woke up. Not because that the boy was crying. Because when Parikshit came and put the dead snake on the neck, he didn't wake up. How come he woke up now when the boy was crying? The reason for that is that the moment Sringi cried, it was the same time Krishna has disappeared from meditation, in the meditation from the Shamigrishi's heart. So he asked the son, Shamigrishi asked the son Sringi, why are you crying? So that time the son is pointing out to the father, to Shamigrishi, that there is a dead snake on your neck. Parikshit Maharaj has put that on your snake, on your neck, he said. And I have given a curse that on the seventh day from now, Tatraga will bite him and he will die. This curse I have given. And as soon as the Shamigrishi heard this, he smiled. That's what he did. He says, why? Why is it like this? He thought that Kali has entered into my son's heart also. He could see that because it is only Kali that prompted the son to curse him in this way. So Maharshi, Rishis knows these things because they are Rishis, isn't it? They have that higher vision of all these things. They know what Kali means, Kali's influence, everything. So Rishi started smiling. He says to the son, what you have done is not very good. It's not a good thing. After all, if the king is not there to rule this planet, there will be anarchy here. What will happen then? This was Sringi didn't think about all those things. He just did what he thought, without thinking about it. That if Parikshit goes away, who will rule the planet? That means there will be anarchy. Anarchy means freedom for the dacoits, thieves, and complete lawlessness, isn't it? So that situation will happen. Father could think like that. So he says to the son that it will be anarchy, and that means the subjects will suffer from that heavily. What you have done is not a good thing. So not only that, Parikshit Maharaj is a devotee, and he may have a situation where he felt like doing something, but we should not have done this. We shouldn't do such a thing. After all, it is against the Brahminical principles to curse somebody in that way. So he had that discriminative power in him. In the Rishi had that discriminative power in him. And he knew that Kali has entered into Parikshit and Kali has entered into the Brahmana boy as well. So, but Kali could not enter into the Rishi's heart. You see that difference? Kali has entered into Parikshit's heart. That prompted him to do that. Kali has entered into Sringi's heart. So that prompted him to curse him. But Kali did not get the opportunity to enter into Shamigarishi's heart. Therefore, Shamigarishi was still able to discriminate the thing properly and come to the right decision. So he thought that why did this happen like that? This is also an indication to us that Kali sometimes comes to us also. Often he visits us. We keep the doors open very well for him. That is why Krishna is saying, whenever anger comes to think like this, why is this anger coming? Where is it coming from? And in the olden days they say, when you are getting angry, you sit down and chant the holy name as long as you can, till that anger leaves you and goes away from inside. After some time he will go, he will not stay there permanently. Only if you welcome him, he will stay there. Otherwise he will go. So, we are people like that. We are people who welcome him always. Isn't it? When he comes, we welcome him. So therefore, when anger comes, they say that we take it that, oh, it's a matter of pride that I really got upset, I got angry with somebody. So and if somebody has said something or done something, if you don't react to it in the same way, you feel that you are useless, isn't it? That's why you couldn't do anything about it. That is what is not Bhagavad Gita is telling us. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, If you have got the capacity, if somebody has done something wrong towards us, you should have the capacity to tolerate that. And Maharshi, our Shamigrishi, is also teaching us the same thing. He says to his son and told them that what you have done is a wrong thing. And then he called a couple of his disciples there and he told them, you go to the palace and inform the king that what has happened. That from now on, seventh day, Tatshaka will bite him and he will die. In other words, to tell him that he has got 7 days' time. This warning. So, you have sufficient time that if you want to do some good karma before this happened, you have got the time for that. So, please inform this, send these two disciples to the palace to inform Parikshit this. Parikshit Maharaj has come back to the palace after all these things what happened. And then he has not taken water after coming to the palace. He has not taken water since he was thirsty. He went and asked for the water. And Shamigarishi did not offer him any water. He got upset, put the snake on his throat, and felt bad about this thought of having done something seriously wrong. Came back to the palace and thinking about it, he is even forgotten to take water. He didn't feel thirsty after that. So this is what happened. So he has not taken any water and he is sitting there on his throne and he is thinking about it. What has happened? That is that verse you will see in the third verse in the 19th chapter. Adyaiva rajyam balamruddha kosham prakobida brahma kulanalome dahatvabhadrasa punarname bhul pabiyasidvir dijadeva gobhyaham. Adyaiva rajyam balamruddha kosham prakobida brahma kulanalome dahatvabhadrasa punarname bhul pabiyasidvir dijadeva gobhyaham. My kingdom, all my opulences, let it all go, says Parikshit. Because what made me to do such a thing? See how much he feels bad about something what he has done. That Parikshit's state of consciousness. And he's saying that I should be punished. He's saying for what I have done. And he's saying to Krishna to punish him. And it was at that time when the king was contemplating on this, in the palace, it was at that time these two disciples of Shamigarishi arrived there and then came and told him what that has happened there. And when they came and informed the palace that they want to see the king immediately called them inside. First, you can't just walk in like that. They got there in the palace and the guards were there outside. The guards held them, but then the disciples told them, the guards, to inform the king that they have come from the Rishi's ashram. As soon as he heard that, he realized that there must be something serious behind it. So immediately asked them to let them in. And they told Parikshit that we are the disciples of Shamigarishi and you have come and put a dead snake in the neck of our spiritual master. Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, I have done that. Okay, Maharshi's son, Shringi, has cursed you that from seventh day from today, Tatshaka will come and bite you and you will die. And left it like that and they went back. Saying this, they went back. If you want to do anything good, some good activities, pious activities or some spiritual activities, you have enough time these 7 days. If you have some desire to do so, and we have been told to inform you this. Saying this, they went back. And Parikshit Maharaj sat there. Sarish Maharaj sat there. And we'll talk about it afterwards.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha dhavagni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam mudivardhanam pradivada purnamrada swadhanam sarvatna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda Nija sarva shakti tatrapi dani mida smarane nakala eda drashi tava kriba bhagavan mamabi durdeiva me drashami hajani nanuragaham tranaravi shuni jainam karoravi sahishnuna amani namanadena kirtaniya sada harim
ഭഗ്നം ന ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈ ലുഹി ത്വയി അയ്യേ നന്ദ തനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമം ശമേ ഭവാംബുധൗ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളീ സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദ ശുകാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദ രുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുലകർജിതം കഥാ ബഭൂതവം നാമഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗത്സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരതാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ ദുലം ഭടോ മൽപ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നൈവ നാപരാം. When Parikshit Maharaj heard these two disciples of Shamika Rishi who came and informed him about the curse, Parikshit Maharaj felt very happy. Why? In the message is that on seventh day he is leaving the body. Tatshaka is going to bite him. But did he get upset about it? He didn't get upset about it. He felt that the correct punishment had come to him for what he has done to him. He didn't get not at all frightened about it. He didn't get frightened. And so there, just like if you have seen, you know, when you go into forest, there are various types of trees there. Some trees, their branches are weak. If you hold that, the branch will break and come off. There are certain trees whose branches will never easily break. Even if you hang on to that, it will carry you away. It is so strong like that. On the ordinary trees, you will find tamarind tree has got that capacity. You can't break its branch easily. If you hold on to tamarind tree branch, it will hold you. Unless it is, you are so heavy and the branch is so weak. But ordinary, a branch of a tamarind tree, if you pull, it won't break easily. So similarly, they are saying that because Parikshit felt that, he has completely taken Krishna's shelter. He didn't feel frightened about it. Because he has to such an extent inside that Krishna is going to look after me. That confidence in him. To that extent, he didn't get frightened at all. Remember, he is not suffering from an illness in the body or the mind. He is in his full health, in the mind as well as in the body. So therefore, when a curse happened like this, it didn't bother him at all. He only felt that the punishment I deserve, I got it. Because what I've done is such a bad thing. And he felt so happy about it that let Krishna do what he wants to do with me. See, that protection from Krishna, how it worked for him at that minute, at that time. So he never got frightened about it, and he sat there and thought about it. He said, I have done everything what I have to do in my life. Just like now, when you are planning a journey, that you are planning to go somewhere, what will you do? You will organize the plan, everything for the trip, isn't it? Clothes, food, and baggage, everything. So in a similar way, he was planning the trip. Parikshit was planning his trip to leave the world. So so he was feeling that he called his son Janamejaya and installed him as a king. I'm leaving. That's his mood. I'm leaving. Janamejaya told Janamejaya, you are the king. And all the other things, all other activities, he completely stopped. In other words, no Vyavaharam anymore. Vyavaharam finished there. And then, in his ordinary clothes, he came out of the palace and walked away from there. In his ordinary clothes, walked to the Ganga river bank and purified himself with the water from the Ganges. And because Ganga water is capable of purifying anyone who has done sinful activities. And they had that faith in the Ganga river's capacity. Parikshit walked into Ganga river, took the Ganga river, bathed himself in that and purified himself. And he sat there and sat on. Now, Prayobhavesham as called, sit in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Prayobhavesham means you sit in one place and give up your body. But to sit, you have to arrange a seat properly. How is that seat arranged? That they put the sand first.
On top of that they put the grass. Grass and the sand. This is where they sit. And they facing towards the north. He sat there, Parikshit Maharaj sat there and ready for what they call it as prayabhavesha. Prayabhavesha means without eating, drinking, allowing the body to destroy itself. Allowing the body to destroy itself. He won't get up from there anymore. So, he realized that I have nothing else to do in this world. All this is coming from that vairagyam inside. So extreme vairagyam inside, that is what is giving that strength from inside. Let Takshaka come to any moment, after all, where will he bite me on the body, isn't it? He can only bite my body. He sat there and he says, Pandava Bandhu, Arjuna Sarathi, Krishna. And he kept remembering about Krishna and Krishna's kindness towards all the Pandavas. And it was at that time, suddenly what came to his mind was what his mother told him, Uttaradevi. Uttaradevi mentioned to him at one instance that it is Krishna who had protected me while I was in my mother's womb. Krishna who has protected me. And when I was born, there was no life in me. As I mentioned yesterday, that in Mahabharatam and in the Bhagavatam, there's a little difference. In Mahabhagavatam, it says Krishna entered into the womb and protected Parikshit there. Whereas in Mahabharatam, Parikshit has come out as a dead body. And then life was given to him, given to Parikshit by Krishna outside the body. Like these two different explanations for some reasons, rishis are sometimes like that. Same Vedavyas has written in two books in two different ways. One of the reasons, what I understand from those who have studied Bhagavatam for many, many years, they say that whenever rishis present to you something, they will deliberately put facts in a different way. The idea is that you don't go into the details. They don't want to get you stuck in the details. Because you can see the problem we all have got. Whenever something is spoken, people will ask, which year did it happen? Where did it happen? These are details. This has nothing to do with self-realization, spiritual realization. So deliberately, rishis will confuse us. And according to that reason only, they say that in the Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam differences between the way Parikshit was born. Similarly, about Sugadeva Goswami, in Bhagavatam he is a brahmachari. He is never married. In another Puranam, Skanda Puranam and all, he is mentioned as a householder with children. So, why is it like this? This is an important thing. The reason behind that is, the only way they could explain this is that, because this question comes up, it's not only, and what happens, normally people read that and they reject, oh, this is all bogus, they say. One says one thing, another says another thing. They Google and find out and they will say, it's not correct. That is, you see, they know our psychology well, more than what we know about ourselves. If we get stuck in the details, the correct message won't come in. You won't take that seriously. The message is this, that Parikshit was protected by Krishna. Whether it happened inside the womb, outside the womb, what does it matter? That's not important. In the same thing about Bhishma also, there are some changes in the Bharatam and Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam also. So here also you can see here, that when I was born, there was no life in me, and Krishna took me and put me on the lap. In the Mahabharatam it is like that, and gave me life after that. That's how Mahabharatam says like that. So, it's the same with time, space, all these things has no relevance as far as spiritual realization is concerned. That one factor we have to always take very seriously. That's why in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, so many things when you read, you can't connect it together. Deliberately, they don't want you to get involved in the searching business, research business. People are doing research in the Puranam. And many scholars in India are making fun of it. He says, you start doing research in the Puranam, you will get nowhere. Because Puranams are written in that way. The idea behind Puranam, there's a lot of things behind it, what we were discussing before, that the truth and fact are two different things. What you call as fact is not the truth. Fact is something, what you have, suppose say somebody hit a car, hit someone, And he fell on the street, and the police came, ambulance came, took him on the ambulance and went to the hospital and got treated and all that. That's all fact, but that's not the truth. Truth is something different. Truth, why is it different? Because you are looking at it from the body. The truth is, he's not the body. So if the car has hit him, it is his body that's been hit. And that's a fact. But he has not been hit. The person who has been, whom we say has been, we are so much absorbed in the body. So we are mixing these two things, the truth and the fact. For the rishis, the sages, the acharyas, this is not the truth. This is a fact only for them, not the truth. So in a similar way, when the rishis compile Bhagavadam and all other Puranams, this is in their perspective, how they see things. Like, remember I mentioned this before also, in the Bhagavadam, there are many questionable things, isn't it? 10 million wives, Chitraketu, is very famous. Two devotees, they went to Prabhupada and asked Prabhupada to explain that. Prabhupada said, just leave it, he said. He said, how can we leave it? How can anybody have 10 million wives? This happened in Los Angeles. It's still in the conversations, you can read it if you want to read it. They asked Prabhupada, how can anybody have 10 million wives? Krishna even 16,000 wives, but Chitraketu had 10 million wives. Then another instance in the Bhagavadam, you will see that, what is his name, Ugrasena. He had 4 billion servants. So they were saying that how could 4 billion people live in Dwaraka, which is not that big? This is there, you see the problem with the what the rishis are doing to us. The very thing what they don't want us to get involved is this research business. To go and inquire and find out. We want everything historically. That is the same problem with everything in the creation. In Maya's creation, if you start thinking that something is permanent, then you have lost it. Nothing is permanent here. Planets even though they move around according to their own orbits and everything, even their positions, what Sukadeva Goswami is saying in the fifth canto is what he is seeing at that particular moment in time. Nothing is permanent here as far as creation is concerned. So unless we have some understanding like that, we will find it very, very difficult, because you can see how material world, everything is changing all the time. We are just visitors here and come and gone. And we are taking that this is all permanent here. There is two things, what they call it as Srishti Drishti Vadam and Drishti Srishti Vadam. Two things they say. In one they are saying Srishti is permanent, Drishti is changing. In another way they say Drishti is permanent, Srishti is the one what is changing. For example, in the Drishya Vivekam book, if you read, you will see there that Drik is the one who is actually seeing. The seer is more important than what you are seeing. What is seen is not permanent. The seer is permanent, isn't it? So, in the same way, here also, you have to remember that whatever changes you are finding between Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam, that's not important. That's not important. Whether he was given life inside or outside, that's important. Krishna has protected him. That's the only thing. So, in the Bhagavatam, because of all this, many people could not come to Bhagavatam and continue listening to it. So they read Bhagavatam. When you read Bhagavatam, if you read it through your mind and intelligence, you will be in trouble. You have to completely give it to Krishna's hands. Let Krishna give you the understanding. In that way, if you understand, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, is it not? What did he say? He said that, there's a famous verse about that, where he's saying that Bhaktya Bhagavatam Yayam Na Vilpatya Na Tikaya. It's a famous statement. By your knowledge of the Sanskrit, if you try to understand Bhagavatam, you won't understand. By Tika, by your commentaries and all that, if you try to understand Bhagavatam, you won't understand. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Yayam. Mahaprabhu said this. By bhakti you will understand. That means, when you surrender to Krishna and you ask for Krishna to help you to understand Bhagavatam, then you will understand Bhagavatam. In other words, what Uddhava said to Krishna, when Krishna started instructing Uddhava, Uddhava says to Krishna, I will only, what you are going to tell me now,
I will only understand or experience that much what you want me to understand. Nothing more than that. I'm not going to get anything more than that. Only what you want me to understand, I will understand. Generally, mind and intelligence comes into everything, isn't it? Like we read a book, first thing our mind will start thinking about it with our intelligence, analyze it, and then we'll come to some understanding. So if the mind and intelligence is not accepting it, then we have a problem there. And Bhagavatam will definitely create a problem if you start using mind and intelligence to study Bhagavatam. And that is the difficulty. And then we are trying to justify it in our own way. That won't work. In Puranams it will not work. So this is the same thing. This Ugrasena story, devotees left because of that. They thought it is some, already they were told it's all mythology. So they said it's another mythology, they left. Then this story about Chitraketu's 10 million wives. This all causes problem for them. And then they are saying that Chitraketu had no children, 10 million wives he had. So then they are saying, oh, did he not go for IV treatment or whatever? This way our dirty mind will bring such things into it and start looking at it and find an answer for it. We want an answer for everything. But you won't get an answer for all these questions. This kind of questions, if you come to Bhagavatam, you will find it very well. You won't go very far. First chapter itself, you will finish. Go back from there. Another person, so many funny questions people ask. They say, there were 80,000 sages staying in Naimisharanyam, living to Shravanagrishi. Shravanagrishi and Sudha Goswami were speaking Bhagavatam. There is 80,000 rishis were present there. So he's saying, without a loudspeaker, how could they all hear? All the 80,000 people. Now, this is how we are reading Bhagavatam. Where are we going to get with this? What will happen? Imagine that. That if Sridharajarya Swamiji has asked all these questions, and they expect Sridhariyam to answer all these questions. Sridhara Swami had no problem with any of these things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sridhara Swami's commentary I consider as the best of all the Bhagavatam commentaries. And Sridhara Swami never mentioned about any of these problems. Why is that? Because they all knew very well. They knew the rishi's mind, how it works. Rishis are not interested in the details. These kind of, our way, because we studied history too much. That's the problem. History is like this, isn't it? Exactly which year the war happened. And how many soldiers died in the air, in the sea, in the land. And we have got accurate figures for the Second World War, First World War, everything. What do we do with it? What's the use? All the, so their point is, history itself is bogus as far as they are concerned. Because history is not helping you in any way. What will actually help you is, if you understand that message of the Bhagavatam, what rishis are giving to us, but to get us interested in that, they have given all the background of all these things and presented it in such a way that ordinary people will find it interesting to read Bhagavatam. But the approach has to be different. Otherwise we will find that very difficult to live with these difficult situations. So, like that there are many questions. This one or two things what I have mentioned is what I have heard about, but there are many more in the Bhagavatam questions coming up like that. So Parikshit has heard this, that Uttaradevi saying this to him, that actually he was dead. When he came from the womb, Krishna has protected him. So Parikshit is saying there at that time, that you have protected me in my mother's womb. And is it that I have to die like this, that a snake is biting me and I have to give up the body in this way? That means is Parikshit Maharaj has been affected by it. That means the death is coming. He doesn't mind dying, but he is feeling very strongly inside that he hasn't realized the truth yet. That absence of self-realization is bothering him at this moment in him. That he has been bitten by the snake, he's going to be bitten by the snake, and he's going to leave the body. He doesn't mind that because he said, I'm accepting that as a punishment. But from the very beginning he knew, Krishna has planted this in his mind, the necessity to realize the truth before leaving this human body, otherwise you have to come back again. Parikshit doesn't want that. So he is feeling that that thing what is missing in him, that he couldn't realize the truth yet. So naturally he has been praying to Krishna Antaryami to show him the route, and that too very, very sincerely he is praying there. Like the way Draupadi prayed in her difficulties in the same way. So there are many, many instances when devotees have cried like this. Cried to Krishna. There's nothing wrong in crying. What you have to remember is, crying is natural. Not crying is unnatural. Crying is natural. Because crying, but it should not be done in an artificial way. It has to happen in situations like this. Why we say crying is natural? Because when we are born, we cry. Everybody cries, isn't it? We didn't come here smiling, did we? Nobody was born with smile. Everybody cried. So crying is natural. Not crying is unnatural. So that's the thing. So many, many devotees also. Yatra Draupadi Trane Yatvara Gajarakshane Mayatve Karanamurte Satvaraka Gadahare. One devotee prayed to Krishna. You protected Draupadi when she was in trouble. You protected Gajendra when he was in trouble. Now I am in trouble. Where is the help? The devotee asked Krishna. Yatvara Draupadi Trane Yatvara Gajarakshane Mayatve Karanamurte Satvaryakva Gadahare. Where is your help? Why I am not getting the help? This person was in serious difficulty at that time. That was his prayers. So Krishna had this urgency to protect the devotee. In the case of Gajendra, we have seen in the 8th canto, isn't it? How Krishna jumped from the Garuda to lift Gajendra and cut the mouth of the crocodile to save Gajendra. He had an urgency to do that. Similarly, when Draupadi was in trouble, Krishna had an urgency to be there to protect Draupadi. So in such instances in great devotee's life, it has happened. An urgency from Krishna's side. So similarly, here also, Parikshit is feeling that, where is my shelter? Why am I not getting any shelter? So Krishna also felt at that point in time to protect Parikshit Maharaj. And always you will notice this, that before Krishna's protection comes, prior to that, there will be satsangam. The devotee will have satsangam. Satsangam will always be followed by protection from Krishna. Then, and Shukha Brahmarshi has shown that in all instances. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see that they had satsangam with somebody at that time before Krishna's help comes to them. They get that satsangam from there. So, how is that satsangam? That is what is spoken there. You see that? As soon as Parikshit Maharaj came and sat there at the riverbank, rishis started coming one after the other. How did they come? That is satsangam. Satsangam of the rishis. You will see that list mentioned there. How many rishis arrived there? So, this is in the 19th chapter, verse 9 and 10 and 11. Just to show, only to show to us, that if you are a devotee, and even if you are in trouble, and if your prayer is so sincere, that means it's just to touch the heart, Krishna's heart, if you are able to touch Krishna's heart, you will see the help coming. And it's always in the form of satsangam. It has happened to them. Atrar vasishtascha vanasharadvar arishta nemi bhruvirangirascham parasharoghadi sutodharama udathe indra pramadidma vahau medhadidir devalamashtishena bharadvajo gaudama pipalada maitreyam aurva kavasha kumbhayonir dvaipayano bhagavan naradascham anyeja devarshi brahmarshi varyam rajarshi varyam arunadayascha Nana Arshaya Pravaran Sameda
Abhyarcharaja Shirasa Vavande.
Look at that list. Such an impressive list. Can you imagine getting the association of all these personalities at the time of death? So, it is a very strong indication to us that if your relationship with Krishna is strong, that means in a situation like this, if we are able to touch Krishna's heart by our prayers, if you are so affected by that, if Krishna is affected by your prayers, then help will follow. The only problem we have is that we don't have felt it that much. That's the problem in our life. That we still feel that something can be done if we can adjust the situation here. But to that extent one feels, that is when Krishna comes, that help comes. Like in the case of Gajendra, you can see all that. So here also, that rishis have come not only alone, with their disciples they have come. Parashuram came with all his disciples. So, and hundreds and thousands of rishis, they have all come to see Parikshit Maharaj giving up his body. How did they all know about it? Parikshit didn't tell anyone. He walked away from the palace and sat there. And they came and sat there, and they sat all around Parikshit. And Parikshit thought, what is this happening? What have I done for this? Why have they all come? And I have given trouble to one rishi, and now all the rishis have come. Just imagine that. He has given trouble to one rishi, Shamigha Rishi. And now what has happened? All these great, great persons, they are all Krishna's close associates, aren't they? This list, they are all Krishna. You will see them every time in the Bhagavatam again and again spoken. In the occasions, many occasions in the Bhagavatam, in the solar eclipse happened in Samanta Panchakam, there were Krishna's associates there. When Krishna was leaving the planet, prior to that, Krishna used them as a means to create the fight among the Yadavas. They were coming to see Krishna, Durvasa, Vishwamitra, Angiras and all. So Krishna told Rukmini Devi, my friends are not very good looking, he said. And you being a princess and seeing my friends, I don't know how you got attracted to me. Krishna said this to Rukmini. My friends are all with their long beards and matted hair. And their clothes, if you look, they don't have any designer clothes or Krishna. They wear ordinary clothes. Isn't it? Some of them are soiled even. And when they come to visit me, that is exactly what happened to Samba and others. They started thinking, these people, they come and visit our grandfather often, father, Sambhakte's father. They're coming to visit our father often. And they come and they have a good time and they go back. But Krishna's special friends are these sages, the rishis. And Krishna accepts them as his close associates in all times, isn't it? Durvasavamani, Srinarada Maharshi, they're all his close associates. So how have they come now to bless me in this occasion? And immediately Parikshit realized that this has to happen because Krishna is with me. See that faith, how Krishna has given that acknowledgement to him, that Krishna is with you. And the proof of that is the arrival of all these great rishis there. You cannot believe this, that Parikshit walked away from the palace, came and sat there, immediately all the rishis arrived there. And it's why you will see in Narayaniyam, Elpathur said, Vijitra Rupa Tavakhal Anugraha. The way Krishna blesses a devotee, nobody can say about it, how it happens. One, the blessing he gives to one devotee and blessing he gives to another devotee will be different. It is never the same. It's never the same. Every single devotee, Krishna has blessed in different ways. That you will see when you read Bhagavatam, you will find that. It's not always the same. Every devotee has received Krishna's mercy in different forms. In different forms. Vijitra Rupa Tavakhal Anugraham. Krishna's Anugraham is Vijitra Rupam. You don't know how it comes. So that's why I said. So what could Parikshit do? Parikshit paid obeisances to all of them in one lot. Because so many of them had come. Then, and now I can't get up from here. Sitting there he paid his obeisances
And then Shirasa Vavande, says Bhagavatam. Isn't it? You see that word? Shirasa Vavande means with the head he bowed down to everybody because they are all such great personalities. Imagine Atri, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra all coming in front of you and you are sitting there. You naturally you feel like getting up, isn't it? But because he has taken to Prayopavesham to give up his body like this, with the head he bowed down to all of them, one after the other when they arrived, and Shirasa Vavande, he says. Now, you see that? Anyeja Devar, 11th verse in the 19th chapter. Anyeja Devarshi Brahmarshi Varyam Rajarshi Varyam Aruna Adayascham. They are all these three categories. Devarshi, Brahmarshi, Rajarshi. What does that mean? When the demigods becomes rishis, they are called Devarshi. And then when those who have rishis, who have realized the Brahman, they are Brahmarshis. And Rajarshi, when the king takes its spiritual life and they realize the self, they are called Rajarshis. They are all self-realized souls. Rajarshis, Brahmarshis and Devarshis. And the list you can see. And see, Nanarshaya Pravaran Sameda Abhyarcha Raja Shirasa Vavande. Shirasa Vavande means with the head, he bowed down to all of them to show his respect to them. So, a similar incident you will see in the Bhagavatam in the 8th canto. When Mahabali was tied by Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti tied him down, isn't it? At the end. At that time, Prahlada came to see him. Now, Prahlada is Mahabali's grandfather. Mahabali says to Prahlada, I can't do anything now. I have already been tied down. I can't even get up and pay my respects to you. So therefore, I pay my respect to you like this. With the head bowing down, he paid offered respects to Mahabali, to the grandfather. Prahlada has done that. So, once you have bowed to Krishna, and you have offered yourself to Krishna, then it is very difficult to pay respects to anybody else in that way. Because here, you are offering everything to Krishna, including yourself. What you offer to Krishna, you can't take it back from him and offer it for any other purpose. So, because of this, he says there, that Vedavyasa Maharshi is pointing out to us that Parikshit Maharaj with his head bowed down and showed his respect to him. Because he couldn't offer the respect like the way he has offered respect to Krishna. Because he has offered himself to Krishna. And similarly, anything once it is offered to Krishna, you can't take it and use it for yourself. That's not allowed. That is against the system. It doesn't allow that to happen. So, here, Prayopavesham he has taken. Prayopavesham he has done. That means he has decided to give the body, hand it over to Krishna, offer everything, and he has sat there. And that is the reason why he didn't get up. With the head, he bowed down, just as an acknowledgement that I offer my respects to you. Didn't get up and make the way he should have offered respect to them, because he has already offered himself to Krishna. So, he says to them, that at this point in time you have all come, and I feel extremely grateful for what you have come here, and I'm so immensely pleased. Now you tell me, what did he say to them? Tam mobayadam, 15th verse, if you look, you see what he said? Tam mobayadam pratiyandu vipra, gangaja devi dridachittamishe, dijoba srishta kuhakat takshagova, Ashatvalam gayada Vishnu gadha. Tam mobayadam pratiyandu vipra. Gangaja devi dridachittamisha. Dijova srishta kuhagatta kshagova. Ashatvalam gayada Vishnu gadha. That kuhagatta kshaga. That kshaga letting come. Kuhaga means one who is a cheater. Letting come and bite me. But dijova srishta kuhagatta kshagova. Ashatvalam, dashatvalam, gayada Vishnu ghada. But all I want from you, sing the glories of Krishna. Let me hear that. Let me hear that and give up my body. Takshaga or kuhaga. No matter, let anybody come and bite me now. But I am not disturbed over that. Because one day this body has to go anyway. This body has to go anyway, and I am ready for that. Parikshit says there. But I have one desire in me at this moment. Till the last moment, I want to hear about Krishna. I want to hear about Krishna, and that is my only desire. Parikshit says that to them. That Dijobasish Tam Obayadam Pradiyandu Vipram Gangaja Devi Dridajitamishe Dijobasishta Kuhagat Takshagova Ashatvalam Gayada Vishnugadha. So, there is in the Padmapuranam this glorification of Bhagavatam, 6 chapters. In Skandapuranam there is also glorification of Bhagavatam, where there is mentioned there that when Parikshit Maharaj started his administration, that means when he was about 30-35 years old, at that time Parikshit went to Mathura once. Went to Mathura. So when he went to Mathura, he also went to Vrindavanam. When he went to Vrindavanam, Uddhava was present there. At that time, Uddhava was present in many places. Even today they say Uddhava was present in Kusum Sarovar, where he is reading Srimad Bhagavatam and offering his respects to the gopis there. We may not see them, that's another thing. But Bhagavatam is saying there that Vrindavanam, in particularly in Kusum Sarovar, Uddhava is always present. And so here, Vrindavanam, when he went to Uddhava, when he went to Vrindavanam, Parikshit Maharaj met Vrindavanam, he met Uddhava there, and Uddhava was sitting there and reading Bhagavatam there at that time, reading Srimad Bhagavatam there. Parikshit sat there to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from there. So Uddhava told Parikshit at that time that you shouldn't sit here listening to Bhagavatam now, and you have another some responsibility, and Kali has come, you have to control that Kali. And this has happened before the Kali Nigraham, before Kali was controlled. And some other point in time, in life, you will get an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from another source. Like that, Uddhava has already said this to Parikshit. So it is after that, this Kali Nigraham, everything happened. And from that day onwards, he has been waiting for an opportunity to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now that that situation has happened. He has got 7 days' time, and Parikshit Maharaj has taken this as an opportunity. So that is why he told the rishis who are present there, Dashatvalam Gayada Vishnu Gada, simply talk to me about Krishna. At that point in time, he didn't know that Shuga Brahmarshi was going to come to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He is saying to the rishis who are present there, tell me about Krishna, sing the glories of Krishna, let me hear that, and let me leave the body in that state. So, they are saying to him that actually it was not a curse, it was a blessing for him, that at least you have 7 days time left still, isn't it? Let us do some good things in these 7 days. So Maharshis, rishis who are present there, they were suggesting to him. So as far as we are concerned, we are not even guaranteed that 7 days we have life, isn't it? Most of us, we know when we look at our own body, when this will go, we don't know. It can go any time. So Parikshit Maharaj felt that at least 7 days time I have got, he was saying like that. But we are little different. I'm just saying that how Parikshit's way of looking at things and our way of looking at things. There was one, an old man. He was 85 years old. He was very attached to householder life, family life, particular about all the money being spent, how it was spent, where it was spent. And particularly in running home, he was very, you know, sometimes how householders get too much into it. And he was such a person. We get very old, but he couldn't do it anymore. He was that old. So the sons, grown-up sons he had, eldest one about 60 years or something like that, the eldest one, he says to them, from now on we will manage everything, the family affairs, accounts, how to spend the money and what other things, isn't it? But he won't let them do it. He kept on, he controlled. He says, I can't trust anybody. So he kept on doing that. So finally, The son spoke to some local people, and they all together decided to go and negotiate with the old man, because they were saying that things are going bad, he can't remember anything. It happens old age, isn't it? So either you give up the whole activity, or you have to minimize it to the extent possible. Many things old age you can't remember. Whether you like it or not, dementia comes to everybody in one way or the other. So, so he decided to hand it over to the eldest son, finally. But while handing it over to him, he says to him, after 20 years, you make sure you give it back to me, everything he said. On that condition. In other words, that attachment is so strong inside that he's never thinking about his death. He's thinking, he's so absorbed in the house and household affairs that he's not able to come out of it. So even while handing it over, he's saying to him, that make sure that you give it back to me with proper accounts, everything after 20 years, when I'll ask you one day. So this is how our vairagya means. This is the state of vairagya. So this is how our intelligence works like this. So Parikshit Maharaj is not like that. He threw away everything before he left, isn't it? And 7 days time he had, and he says to the rishis, I'm satisfied. So in remaining time, I simply want to hear about Krishna's and Krishna's glories alone, nothing else. The rishis thought about this. They haven't got instruction yet from the upper, higher sources. Rishis are very thoughtful people. They won't do anything simply because you have said something. They need instruction from Antaryami inside, otherwise they won't act. That is why you will see in the list, Bhagava and Naradascha, the list mentioned there. So who is Narada Maharshi? Narada Maharshi is that person who has taken Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Brahma. Isn't it? Brahma gave him Bhagavatam. And Bhagavata Upadesham he received from Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma. So everyone was quiet. Nobody was answering at that time. And they were all looking at Sri Narada Maharshi. If you want to hear about Krishna, the right person to talk about is Sri Narada Maharshi. Who else is there among them? Who was more closer to Krishna than anybody else, and who knows about Krishna, and who has heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahma himself. So there is no other better candidate than Narada Maharshi among all the rishis who are present there. So all the rishis who were present there, they were looking at Sri Narada Maharshi's face. They were thinking that Narada Maharshi will start now, Janma, Desayat, Vandvaya. They were looking at him in that way. But Narada Maharshi was not saying anything. So they understood that something else is happening with Narada Maharshi, and Krishna has started. That is why Narada Maharshi is keeping quiet. Krishna has started there, but not Shuka Brahmarshi. Krishna has started. Why? Why they say like that? If you look at the verses, you will see the way they have put it there. That if you see Krishna, sometimes when he throws away his peacock feather, and when he takes away his kaupinam, everything as a little boy, how will he be look like? How will Krishna look like? And he has taken away his tilak, everything. No tilak, no peacock feather, no kaupin, nothing. Nothing in his body. So, as soon as Krishna heard that Parikshit Maharaj has been cursed, he decided, he got a little angry. Krishna has got angry and he says, that like the way he used to fight with Yashoda Devi, when he doesn't get his butter, he will fight with Yashoda Devi, bargain for the butter, and bargain for milk. And he will get angry also with Yashoda Devi sometimes. So when he used to get angry with Yashoda Devi, first thing what he used to do, he will pull out his peacock feather and throw it on the ground to show his anger. And similarly, he will take out his cowbean and throw it on the ground to show his anger. And similarly, all the tilak, everything, he will wipe it off. So, when they looked at it, in the same way, when Yashoda Devi told him to put the kaupin on, Krishna says, I won't put it on again, till you give me the milk. So, so he used to get angry like this. Now here, Krishna got a little angry now. So, what did he do? Why? My devotee has been cursed. So, at least at that time, Shuka Brahmarshi is coming there. Who is Shuka Brahmarshi? Krishna himself is coming in that form. In that form, it is Krishna himself. That is why they mentions here that as though he looked, who Shuka Brahmarshi has no body. It's a form he has taken. Krishna has taken and come in that form. He looked as though
like Krishna, but Krishna, who has thrown away his peacock feather, who has thrown away his cowbean, and who has removed his tilak. And that's exactly how he looked. There's a comparison there, that when they looked at Shukha Brahmarshi, they looked exactly like Krishna, but without peacock feather, without the tilak, and without the cowbean. That's how he was walking, much older, looked a little bit older than that. So now, inside that, Krishna can get into anyone inside. He can get into Sukadeva Goswami's inside also. It's not a problem. But to protect the devotee, so in order to come and speak Srimad Bhagavatam, that all these things are coming from that verse in the end. Kasmayena vibhasito ayamadulo jnana pradipa puram tadrubena janaradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina yogindraya tadalpanada bhagavadradaya karunyadam tachruddham vimalam vishokam amradam satyam varam dhimahi. That this Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna spoke, sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna received it. Sitting in Brahma's heart, Krishna spoke. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart. In other words, Krishna is the speaker always, and Krishna is the listener also. There's nobody else in this world. We will all say, I spoke, he spoke, she spoke, and all that. Actually, it is all no meaning. Always, Bhagavatam is spoken by Krishna, and Bhagavatam is heard by Krishna. Nobody else. So here also, in that form of Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, it is Krishna who has come there, and in order to protect Krishna, no Takshaka can bite him, and nobody has the capacity. Therefore, Krishna's mercy has come in this form, Shukha Brahmarshi, and that is why it took a form at that time to show to the world that Krishna can come as Shukha Brahmarshi. At that time, he comes there. And we are thinking that Shukha Brahmarshi is like this, the particular form we have in our mind, when we think of that. But it is not like that. Shukha Brahmarshi, who knows where he is, what form he is. So when he arrived there, that the death has come to him, they all wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That thought has come to Parikshit. And therefore, the rishis are saying to him, you were born in the family of the Pandavas, and it is not at all surprising that at the time of death, this desire had come to you to hear about Krishna. That desire has come to you, it's not surprising at all, because whole Pandava family, throughout their life, they have only had Krishna as their asset, everything. Throughout their life, what they enjoyed was Krishna's... So Parikshit Maharaj looked at them. When they sent this to Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj looked at them. Why are they saying like this? What is that? This is the nature of the world. This is the nature of the world. When you are dying, people will come to see you at the time of death. If you are fortunate or unfortunate, whatever it may be, some people will come to see us. And they'll come and tell you some things which may not be true. Which may not be, just like sort of to please you, they'll say things. They may not be thinking truly in that way. But they may say something to please you because they are thinking that you are leaving anyway. So let us send him off in a nice way. At the time of death, all sorts of drama happens. You can see that in the happens. So he says to them that, why are you saying like this? Parikshit was raising this question. That at the time of death, do you have to say all these things? Look at Parikshit. Parikshit doesn't want all this kind of talk. He wants straight about Krishna, nothing else. He just wants to hear that. So that is what he says there. Ashatvalam kayada Vishnu gatha. So at that time, one rishi told him that you have got 7 days' time. At least let us do one thing, he says. Let us start a sacrifice now. Let us start a sacrifice now. So different rishis have different agenda in their heart. They wanted to do different things. And at the end of the sacrifice, what they call as avabhradhasnanam, they all together go and bathe themselves in a holy river. That is called avabhradhasnanam. And after that, you will go back to the spiritual world. So let us start a sacrifice now. Another rishi suggested like this. And they were
they were suggesting to him that a sacrifice will be more appropriate at this time. Rishis are coming with different proposals. Another Rishi suggested to him, you still have 7 days time, so let us practice this Ashtanga Yogam and raise the Kundalini through them, and through the Brahmarandram it will break open and go through Vaikuntham in that way. He was suggesting those things to him. So the Rishis, who are, some of them were very experts in Ashtanga Yogam, so they were saying, if the Brahmarandram didn't break, we will break it open and get it out from there. They were suggesting. So Parikshit says, I don't want a yagam, I don't want a yogam either. All I want is alam gayada Vishnu khada. I just want to hear about Krishna. So, and Krishna has protected me from the womb. And from that day onwards till now, it is Krishna who has protected me. I just want to hear about Krishna and leave this body. Parikshit stuck to that position. He didn't want to hear anything else. It was at that time, they were all looking at each other. They were all looking at each other, and they are looking at another direction. At that time, they heard a huge sound coming from that side. When they looked at that side, one person is walking, this is Shuka Brahmarshi, accompanied by many women and children with him. Many women and children with him. And the person is completely naked. He is completely naked. Yogi, he is, Bala Yogi says, all his hair is lying, matted hair lying in a way in all directions, and he has not even a kaupin, nothing to cover even his private parts in the body, and he is walking. If you look at him, you may appear as though he is mad. He is mad. And the lots of women and children with him. Sridharacharya Swamiji mentions in the commentary about this, he said, those children and women, they are not ordinary children and women. Who are they? He says, all the siddhis, Shuka Brahmarshi's status, he is saying, who Shuka Brahmarshi is? Anima, Lekhima, Mahima, Gerima. You remember the siddhis in the Bhagavatam spoken? They have all, Shuka Brahmarshi doesn't want all of them. But because Shuka Brahmarshi is so advanced spiritually, that they want to follow him. And they have taken this form of women and they are following him in that way. That is what you find there. That Anima, Lekhima, Gerima, Mahima, Ashtasiddhi, Ashtaishwari Siddhis, they have taken personal forms and followed Shuka Brahmarshi in his journey to come and see our Parikshit Maharaj. They couldn't stay away from Shuka Brahmarshi because Shuka Brahmarshi is so perfect in the yoga process that they have followed him. So you can see Vedavyasa Maharshi's mind, how it is working. He's saying there that Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, his attachment to the child, Shuka Brahmarshi is his son, isn't it? He says there that how old does he look like? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you'll see there, how does he look like? His age is mentioned there. That, see, look at that. Tatra bhaval bhagavan vyasa putro yadurchayagam adamano anaveksha. 25. Alakshalingo nijalapatushto mrudascha bhalairavadutaveshaham tvam dvashnavarsham sukumarapadam karoru bahum sakapolagatram charvaya dakshvanna sadulyakarnam subhrananam kambusujadakantham. Those two verses, he is trying to give us a picture of Sukadeva Goswami. What does he look like? Look at his age and the way he put his age. Tvam dvashta varsham, he says. Dvashta means two. Tvam dvashta varsham. 2 years old. But you can say ashtam also, if you take, you can say 8 years old. 2 times 8 is 16. So Shri Shugan is looking at and that 2 times 8, if you add that, is 16 years old. Isn't it? Why does Vedavyasa Maharshi mention it like that? He could have straight away said 16 years old. Because he is his son. Shuka Brahmarshi is his son. And he still has a little attachment towards the son. Doesn't want to see him. So, when he saw Shuka Brahmarshi walking in Vedavyasa Maharshi's eyes, he is still young. Little boy. For the mother or father, son is never old, isn't it? It's always young. So similarly, Vedavyasa Maharshi is also seeing
Shuka Brahmarshi in that way, and he is going to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he looked at him, he did not want to put an age higher than that. So that's what he is saying, Dvashti Varsham, 2 times 8, 16. So, and everybody looked at him, that Tejasi means that when you see a person, how he impacts you, that impact what he has created at that time, that's what he's saying here. Everybody got up from the seat. Everybody got up from their seat and they understood that it is Shuka Brahmarshi who has come there, and they welcomed him. And right in front of Parikshit Maharaj, they gave a seat for him to sit. Narada Maharshi, Vedavyas, they are all there sitting there. And they turned towards Parikshit and told him that you wanted to hear the stories of Krishna's pastimes, isn't it? Krishna's Leela. You can ask every question what you want. And that is what you'll see there in the 36th verse. Anyadha avyatta gadeer darshanam nakatham. That anyadha adi avyatta gadeer darshanam nakatham nranam nidaram riyamananam samsiddhasya vaniyasam. When he looked at, Parikshit Maharaj looked at Shuka Brahmarshi's face, that he felt a relief. Just like when you are very sick, and if a doctor comes to see you, and if you have a rapport with the doctor, whom you trust a lot, the very moment the doctor comes, you feel a relief, even if he has not prescribed any medicine, provided you have that much faith in the doctor. It was the same situation here also happened. That when he came there, Shuka Brahmarshi walked in there, he forgotten that Tatshaka is going to bite him. So, at that time, Shuka Brahmarshi says here, you don't have to worry, you got 7 days time, haven't you? There is enough time to sort this out. And it was at that time, Parikshit paid his respects to them, that I'm not the only person who's got here. And in the eyes of the Parikshit Maharaj, that Parikshit is realizing this. He is not the only one who is under this curse, is it? We are all in the same curse. Only thing is, instead of that 7 days, we may have 6, 7 days, or 7 months, or 7 weeks, or 7 years, or 70 years. Nothing more than that. After that we are over, isn't it? So, all of us, like Parikshit is facing death, we are also in the same situation like Parikshit. So that is why, if you look at that questions he asked, very important questions. Adaprucchami samsiddhim yoginam paramam gurum purushasya hayal karyam mriyamanasya sarvadha yashrodhavyam adhaj adhojapyam yalkartavyam nribhiprabho smartavyam vajaniyam va bruhiyadval viparyayam nunam bhagavado brahman griheshu grahamedhinam nalakshade avasthanam abhigodohanam kochil. These are the three verses where Parikshit is saying to him that who does not have this fear of death in this world? Parikshit is saying, who does not have fear of death in this world? And is there any way to escape from death? And how can one, what puts a person to experience death? And that is Anyoya Vedregam. In the Bhagavatam you will see this in both ways. In one way he is asking that how can you escape from death? That is Anvayam. Vedregam is, what do you have to do so that you will experience death? Death is not real. You have to always remember this, what Krishna is saying to us. Death is not a real thing. That is a difficult thing to comprehend for us. When he told Uddhava, that's what he said, isn't it? He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, mrityu atyanda vismriti. That is how Krishna defines death. Mrityu means, death means forgetfulness of this body. That is the end of it. Body is not real as far as Krishna is concerned. Death is, if body is not real, how can the death be real? It's not. So body is not real, therefore death is also not real. So that is why this question is important. He is saying to him that if somebody is experiencing death, how will he come out of it without experiencing it? So it is experience more important than the death. And similarly, who will experience death? What does one has to do to experience death? That is how he is asking the question. Bruhi edwal vibhayayam, he says there. So this is called Anyoya Vedregam in the Bhagavatam. And he is praying to them.
Shuka Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, smiled and told him to sit down, and from next canto begins with Shuka Brahmarshi is talking to Parikshit, which will start on Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.